Blog Talk Radio.
The Boxing Mix.
Give me a good, clean fight. Good luck to both of you.
The Boxing Mix.
Everybody, it's your host Josh McDaniel with the Boxing Fix. Now, don't change your dials or anything. I know you're used to hearing Joe Sebastianelli on, but he couldn't make it today. He's over in Florida University doing his Tim Tebow on right now. So, quick shout out to Joe, everyone who follows him on Twitter, Facebook. Make sure you send him your shout outs. You know, he's starting school over there. You know, big step for him. So I have a special co-host today for all you boxing addicts, you know, fellow boxing addicts. She is the PR superstar. She's the Twitter queen. I want to introduce everyone to my co-host today, Emily Pondolakis. Emily, what's going on?
Nothing. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on and co-hosting with me. How's everything going out there in sunny, hot Arizona?
It's good. It's sunny and it's hot. We had, a little bit of a reprieve from the heat. You know, it was just in the low hundreds this weekend, so we're happy for that, being able to, just enjoy that, being outside a little bit. So it's a little bit different. Nice.
Now, for everyone listening, we're doing a special show today. I know everyone out there is used to the Boxing Fix. We cover, the undercards, the cards that people, or the fights that people might not be watching, might be missing. Well, we're going to still do that, but with a little twist today, we're going to have on four guests, since it's been kind of a slow week. And we're going to have four special guests, all fighters that are either up-and-coming prospects, guys that are being overlooked, or just, some fighters that everyone out there needs to make sure you keep your eye on. So it's going to be a fun show. I'm excited. I know, Emily, you're excited, right?
I am excited. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. And I actually, I do PR for pro fighters. If, your listeners don't know, I do public relations for pro boxers, and I actually work with a couple, several of the fighters you've had on previous shows, and then, of course, a couple of the fighters coming on tonight. So I was excited that you asked me to come on tonight, because it gives me a chance to kind of interact with them in a different way.
Exactly. And that's why it's going to be a great show. It's going to be a fun show. It's a good way to end this crazy weekend of just for me in general. I had a wedding to go to and all that. We had some good fights on this weekend. So let's get to it. We're going to hit everyone right now with the Boxing Blitz. And you know what, everyone, don't butcher me. I'm not Joel. Joel does this great. Here we go. So Friday on August 24th, and I'm going to butcher some names here, over in Argentina, we got Mariano Aval Robledo. He won a unanimous decision over Oscar Nunes. And then in a fight that we're probably going to be talking about later, because at the last minute, Ryan Bivens had got a hold of me and told me to check this 10th round out. Christian Ruben Gramajo won a unanimous decision over Christian Torres. Now, Gramajo just moved his record to 12-0 with 10 knockouts, and we're going to talk about it later. Like I said, that 10th round was a brutal round. I tell you, it was a great 10th round. Then over at the DoubleTree Hotel, Sacramento, California, we had Otis Griffin defeating Adam Collins by TKO in the second round. It was scheduled for 8 rounds, didn't last that long. And then we got John Avella defeating Misael Martinez by TKO in the second round of a scheduled 4-rounder. All these cards on that card was all like little 4-round bouts. We had Michael Ortega moving to 2-0 over. Actually, I'm sorry, that's a draw. Moving to 2-0 over Cleveland Ishe. And then Jose Alvarez defeating Gregorio Veramontes by split decision. Now, over in Fantasy Springs, this was one of the televised cards over on the Showbox. You know, they had Michael the Artist Perez versus defeating Fidel Maldonado Jr. by split decision, which was a pretty good fight. It was what do you think about that fight, Emily?
I'm sorry, which fight?
the Michael Artist Perez?
You know, I kind of think that, you know, Michael Perez, I don't see him becoming, you know, he won the fight. You know, he got the knockdown in the last, there in the 10th round. I honestly think that this guy, you know, to me what differentiates kind of the elite top-level fighters from others is the ability to finish a fighter, and he had the opportunity to do that in the 4th round, didn't take it. And, you know, I mean, it was an okay fight. Obviously, Perez won. I just, you know, I'm interested to see kind of how he progresses from this, and hopefully, you know.
Right, definitely. And we'll go back and recap
that a little bit more.
Definitely. We'll go back and recap that fight. Also, that was also televised on that card. Randy Caballero, you know, took up a little step up in competition and continued his unbeaten record to 15-0 against, or 16-0 rather, against Manuel Roman. That was a unanimous decision. Caballero's got another guy who kind of like Perez, except he's undefeated, where I feel like he's got to step up his level of competition. But I don't know. I mean, it was kind of impressive, but I want to see him take out some of these fighters. I know he has it in him. He seems like he fights in the hometown and he gets too reluctant to, you know, with all the crowd and all his family and friends there, you know. So we'll also go back and recap that a little bit later. Also on the undercard that was untelevised, we had Angel Osuna defeating in third round knockout over Yosmany Abreu. And then Randy's little brother, Ryan Caballero, made his pro debut defeating Manuel Machado, which I heard was a pretty hard fight for him, but it was harder than what they expected. And so we got another Caballero family member maybe fighting in the local area up there, Fancy Springs and Coachella, see how he continues his career. Also, Santiago Guevara defeated Wilbur Mitchell by TKO in the second round, and Gerald Washington defeated Gary Covia, and that was a first-round knockout. Now we're going to move to Saturday over into the O2 World Arena over in Berlin, Germany. We had the main event there was Arthur Abraham defeating Robert Stiglitz by unanimous decision. Arthur Abraham has now got the WBO super middleweight title. Some want to call him champion. Some call him title holder. It's all what you believe in. Did you get a chance to watch that fight, Emily?
I did watch that fight. I'm an Abraham fan. I always have been. I didn't like what the super middleweight tournament did him, and you know, I did watch that fight. I was glad to see him win it.
Very good. What did you feel about that fight? How do you feel that Arthur looked in that fight against Robert?
I thought he looked good. I'm kind of seeing him, you know, looking more like his old self. I don't know that those losses in, you know, the tournament, you know, how they affected him. And I think he's kind of ready, you know, it's kind of his resurgence, and I'm excited to see him, you know, going forward and getting hopefully another big fight.
Right. I agree. We'll go on and talk about that later, see what's probably next for Arthur and his career, and we'll recap that fight as well. Also on the undercard in the light middleweight division, Jack Colquay defeated Frederick Sarr by TKO in the third round. In light heavyweight, Robert Krasinski defeated Sudhir Sahin. Sorry if I butchered all those names there. KO fourth round of scheduled for 12. That was also for a WBO International light heavyweight title. Dustin Dirks went on and defeated Sandro Ciprovilli, something like that. TKO seventh round. Felix Lam, who continued his unbeaten record against Floyd Rebello. That was a TKO in the fourth round. And Tyron Zurb defeated Carlos Carcido, also TKO third round. Now, over in Monterrey, at the Hotel Crown Plaza in Monterrey, Mexico, Adrian Estrella defeated Carlos Royal Guzman. That was a TKO in the 10th round. Continue his unbeaten streak. He's all his wins go by knockout for Adrian. So make sure you keep an eye on him. He seems like he's a guy that can make some noise out there. And Giovanni Delgado continues his unbeaten streak record again over Alain Robles by TKO or by KO in the first round. Now, over here, over at Fairfield, California, we had Leaving in the Ring was there. Dave went as Gabe Montoya, but according to some complications with the internet, they didn't get to do the live feed. So we'll recap those fights for you right now. Over in Fairfield, California, Alan Sanchez defeated Manuel Leyva by a 10th round TKO. And Manuel Avila went on and defeated Vicente Alfaro by TKO in the third round. Both those fights were televised. I don't know if you got to catch them, Emily. Those were on, I think, I want to say Telefutura. I get the channels all mixed up and confused. Did you get to watch any of those?
Yeah, it was on Soloboxeo. I did. I enjoyed the Sanchez fight. The history, I kind of read up on them, you know, before I watched that fight. And Sanchez kind of had a rocky start to his career and, you know, has now won the last six fights. And the consensus is that, you know, while he may not be, you know, an elite-level fighter, he's going to be an exciting fighter to watch over the next few years now that he's kind of gotten his groove back.
Right, right. And I know a lot of people, from what I heard, you know, felt that Sanchez could have done a lot to him more early on and took it easy on him. But, you know, definitely a guy to watch out for. I heard he's a real top prospect out there in Northern California. On the rest of the bout, they weren't televised. Paul Mendez defeated Lauren Myers by TKO in the third round. Joe Gumina in light heavyweight division defeated Peyton Boya by unanimous decision. And Jonathan Chicas defeated Jose Mendoza by unanimous decision. And that's what we're going to wrap up real quick in the boxing blitz. That was pretty rough, man. That was a lot of names that I can't say. But we're going to go ahead and start doing that recap. Are you ready for that, Emily?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right.
I just want you to stop saying that. We can go do whatever.
All right, all right. So we got Michael Perez, the Michael Perez fight. That was, you know, on Friday night. Just going to go recap Friday night real quick. I don't know about Michael yet. I mean, you know, he's coming off. He had that one loss. Now, you know, he stepped up the level of competition. I don't know where he's going from there. What do you feel about him?
I think, you know, I think he shows some promise, but needs a lot of, he needs some polishing, some finishing. You know, he needs to work a little on his conditioning. I think it looks like that slowed him a little bit. And again, his inability for some reason to finish Maldonado in that, or I'm sorry, yeah, to finish Maldonado on that fourth round definitely made me think, okay, this guy, he needs a little help. And I think he could be using his jab a little bit more, you know, as well.
Yeah, I also saw that with Perez. He had his mouth open a lot. Even Maldonado had his mouth open early on, but I think that was more so because he was bleeding somewhere. And, you know, Perez, I just don't know. You know, it seems like maybe he's in the wrong weight class or he's getting tired too much. There's something about him. I can't even put my finger on it. You know, he looks good early and kind of dies out towards the end, and that's when he gets in trouble. At first I thought he didn't have a chin. He took a few good shots against Maldonado, so maybe he's getting better on that chin. But I think he has potential. Got to see him work harder. We got a special caller on the line. I know it's probably going to get me. He's going to butcher me right now. So producer David Chen, go ahead and bring in that caller on.
What up, what up? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Is this Mr. Duenas?
This is Mr. Duenas. What's up, brother? How you guys doing?
Hey, pretty good, man. You know, it's me and Emily running the show right now. No, Joel, he's Tim Tebowing right now over at Florida University.
Right, right, right. Okay. I'm listening to you guys talking about Maldonado and Perez. And, you know, the thing about Perez is his nickname is the Artiste, right? I don't know, you know, and that's pretty much the kind of performance that we got against Fidel. You know, he had him at some point. It looked like he was going to get graffiti on him, but then he went back into the paintbrushing, you know? I mean, this is a guy that needs to understand that in boxing, do we really want an artist in the ring, or do we want somebody that's going to drop some really cool graffiti, you know, some freestyle stuff? That's what he needed to do. He kind of lacked that. He kind of dropped the ball. Here, Randy Caballero, I've you know, always been huge on him. You know, we've had him on from the beginning of his career. We've been following him, you know, but here's the thing with Randy. He's been almost like a hometown cooking for Fantasy Springs, you know, and he's always done a good job. But I like to kind of see him getting taken out of his own element. You know what I mean? I mean, there's just people are asking for Caballero to step it up. You know, it was a solid performance, but he's in a conference zone. And in that conference zone, his performance is not as high as you would think that a guy would want to do in front of his home crowd. I say take him out of his element. Let's see what he can do, and let's find out some better tests. You know, it was a decent test, but it's not the test that we wanted to know. You know, the test we want to know is that can he get himself out of situations if he's not in his comfort zone? That's what I want to find out, you know. And Solo Book Sale, decent card. I mean, Alan Sanchez, though, I mean, come on, let's be honest here. I think that Alan Sanchez has all the skills in the level. He's got speed. He's got good combination power. He's got good footwork, you know. He's tall. He's lanky. He might be one of the best Northern California fighters. He could really slow it down over here if he would really step it up. I mean, having Leva, you know, letting him survive for 10 rounds, seriously, 10 rounds? Should have had him out, man, within 2 to 3. The guy was just knocked out 2 months ago, you know what I mean? And then before that, he was knocked out 5 months ago. So to me, it was almost like their team and themselves, they really didn't take this fight serious the way the media and us, fight fans, true fight fans, we took it as it was really just for light work. And guess what? It became heavy-sanded bag work, you know? Even the crowd was becoming really restless. You know, the crowd was live. I honestly thought the crowd was overdoing it. You know, they were stomping their feet. It was almost being at a high school track meet, you know, or a high school wrestling meet where they're all like, let's go, Alan Sanchez, you know. And at one point, it just got quiet. It was like, let's go, Alan. People started talking among themselves. That there needs to tell you all the whole story there. And when Sanchez stepped it up, we saw exactly what he was supposed to do in the fifth round, was step it up, you know, and get him out of it. He should have done that from the first round out, you know. But, hey, it is what it is, man.
Do you think when they were saying let's go Sanchez at one point they were trying to say let's go like they want to go home type thing, or was it?
You know what? Yeah, I think so. You know, after they cut off the beer, you know, and not serving it anymore, it was like let's go, dude, like because we want to go to a beer run. Let's go. That's a strong possibility, man. Huge possibility.
And I feel the same way about Caballero, like you were saying. I think he needs to start getting tested out of his element, out of the Fancy Springs and that area, you know, Morongo or wherever. That, I know all those casinos out there in the same area. I don't know what you're thinking. I want to see more from him. I want to see him finish off these fighters more. Just kind of like we want to see with Michael Perez, too. And like you said, he is the artist, but I'd like to see him do more abstract art in the ring so we can see more blood flying, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, you know, absolutely. I mean, that's why fans go and pay, you know, to see fights. They want to see action, you know. I mean, there's a time to look pretty and there's a time to get dirty. And that goes with Sanchez, you know. It was a time to look pretty and time for him to look like a dirty Sanchez.
Oh my gosh.
Hey. This is the PG-13 show, I thought. Hey, well, we got you on. I wanted to ask you something. We're going to talk about this a little later when we get to it. What do you think about Abraham?
Well, the mummy?
Yeah.
Are we talking about Arthur? Who used to have a crown? You mean Arthur Abraham, who used to have a crown and now is just wrapped up in a sheet and boxes like a mummy now? You know what?
He
is
a champion now, though.
Well, yeah, he is a champion. you know, I got to give it up to Arthur Abraham. You know, even like, you know, Sam Soliman, who won this past week, too, as well, and stuff. You know, you got to give it up for these old war horses, you know. They're still in the race. They still possibly have some left. Now, how much do they have left against the top guys in their divisions? I don't know. You know, I know there's talk about Mikhail Kessler. Is it a good fight? It certainly is a good fight. But Kessler, to me, still has a lot more to offer. He's still a little bit more, you know, ripe in his career than he is with Arthur Abraham, you know. Arthur Abraham is Arthur Abraham now, you know. He's the mummy. I mean, if you like old flicks, like the mummies and stuff, then, of course, you're going to go for that. But, you know, for him to try to step out and get into the special effects flicks, it's just not going to happen.
Definitely. Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks for giving us the call, man. Blessing you, Leaving the Ring Genius. You know, everyone can catch Leaving the Ring Radio on Thursdays. All right, that's 5 Pacific. It's 3 hours of boxing talk, man. Him and the Dark Cloud, the Black Knight, whatever you want to call him now. He has so many mentions, Dave Montoya. You guys for listening to them. Always a great show, man, and it's always a pleasure you calling in and blessing us with your crazy antics and knowledge, sir.
I know. And hey, thanks a lot, Emily, for picking it up and being a brave soul to get on the boxing fix.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. I wonder if I maybe would have thought differently if I known the words Dirty Sanchez were gonna. I don't know.
All right, you guys have a good one. Bye.
Bye. Oh,
you know,
man,
who,
that Dirty Sanchez, that was weird.
That was good. Who was Caballero signed with? Is he with a promoter? Is he a Golden Boy
Caballero
fighter?
Yeah, Caballero is with, he's a Golden Boy fighter.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I wonder why
now,
he's not putting on some of these undercards like Alvarez, you know, Lopez, some of those. That's kind of what, I mean, I know that's what Tom Brady would do at this level. You know, if he's, what is he, 15-0 or something like that? Please start getting him on some of those more high exposure cards.
Yeah, like, well, but let's talk about him now then. You know, he just defeated Roman. He went to 16-0. Eight of his wins, so half of them are KOs. You know, I mean, I know I'm the one saying that I want to see him finish off with his opponents, but that's because he can do it. I think he poses the talent and skill. I think it was his last fight before this. It wasn't a very impressive fight. It was also on Showbox, you know. So he's getting somewhat of exposure. He's getting on TV. What do you think he needs to do now, though, to start gaining more fans, maybe? Because right now it looks like his fans are at Fantasy Springs in Coachella, California. And, I mean, I'm telling you, the biggest thing in Coachella is the Coachella concert that they have once a year. So that shows you how important that town is, or big that town is. Well, what do you think he has to do to branch out?
Well, I think, you know, they're doing some of the right things, putting him on TV, on televised cards. I mean, obviously, he was on Showtime. I know he fought for that youth title on Showtime a year ago or so. And then there's this card. You know, I don't see – I have a couple of his team members, like, on my Facebook and stuff, and they kind of promote him. But I don't see a lot of PR coming out of there, a lot of articles. I mean, maybe they could be seeking some more media for him. But also I don't know. Like I said, getting him on one of those high-exposure cards. Like, I work with Jose Benavidez, and, you know, every time he gets on a Pacquiao undercard, he gets so much exposure, even if he's not on the televised portion. And that's something that, you know, maybe Top Rank or Golden Boy is just kind of waiting to see how he performs, you know, on these cards, on televised cards, you know, with that type of pressure. And then maybe at some point they'll move him on to some of those larger cards.
Right. Now, how about his skill level and time? What do you see? Do you see anything good in him? What do you feel about that fight?
You know, he looks good. I have nothing, you know, like you, I'd like to see, you know, see him knock somebody out, you know, but I don't know. I thought he looked good. His conditioning looked good. I have no complaints about it.
Yeah, you know, he definitely has the conditioning, and to, you know, to his credit, especially his opponent's credit, you know, Roman is not pushover by any means. You know, I mean, he's a tough. This was a step up in challenge for him, but once again, like we said, he's fighting over in Coachella or Indio. I'm glad that this wasn't a close fight like the last one. At least he showed why he's more elite than his opponent is, why his talent is better than his opponent, rather than the other time where I think he even struggled at times against his opponent. And you're definitely right. His conditioning does look top-notch. And, I mean, you got to have conditioning when you're fighting out of Indio and training out there, because it's the desert. It's hot out there. It's kind of the same with Timothy Bradley and other fighters of that. You know, I think you even have one of your other fighters that's from Indio or out there where it's nothing but desert. And, you know, so that he definitely – that's his to his advantage. Now, if he can start putting more pop on his punches, he knocked down his opponent, I think, in the third round it was. Or second or third round, and he looked good. But I wanted to see him finish. You know, that's how I know he has potential to finish his opponents, because he is knocking down opponents. But now you got to finish them. Don't let him get back up. You know.
And his, you know, he's got a lot of good tools. He's got a good jab. His footwork's good. It's just like lacking, you know, just the whole package kind of coming together and being like a high performance. Like, it was kind of just. Okay, you know, he did all right. He looked good. He didn't look bad. But I'd like to see him kind of put all those tools together in a way that, you know, he can, the next step up in competition, he will struggle if he doesn't kind of get a handle on that.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I'm saying. We see it. He has the tools to beat that that elite fighter. And all you have to do is, maybe he's just young. Maybe he just needs to mold into it. Maybe that's what it is. Let's go on to Saturday now. Over out in Fairfield, where we were just talking about, it's going to be hard to say this name. Alan Dirty Sanchez versus Leva. What did you think about the fight? How did you feel about that fight going into it, how it turned out and everything?
I thought it was good. Like I said, I liked Sanchez's story. I mean, he's a good fighter. He's a good warrior. I think, I don't know. I thought it was a fine fight. I mean, he looked good. He obviously looked good the whole fight. And I think, like I said, I don't know that I'll see him becoming an elite level fighter, but I think, I like what he's bringing to the table in terms of, like, entertaining fights.
He's a fun fighter to watch, and I think that's where it kind of stops at. Like you said, you don't see him becoming, like, a, big-time champion or anything, but he's someone that he's adorable to watch. Maybe a Friday night fight fighter, so, showbox, even testing even young, up-and-coming guys who probably have the talent to be champion, because he can test a lot of people. I know I don't want to sound like I'm cutting off short, because he's still young, but where I'm getting at is, I don't see him being that elite level. I think Manuel Levin, Go ahead.
There'll be in some entertaining scraps. Yep. I think they'll continue to put him on Solo Box Sale and those types of programs. I understand that the other guy doesn't belong at that weight. That was something that I read after the fact, so I'm not sure. I don't really know. I have a lot of history on them.
Right. And then, and Dave Duanez is going to probably kill me for stealing this. I stole this, I think, from one of his tweets, and I was feeling the exact same sentiment. I think Leva stole the show with his impressive chin. I mean, he was getting battered in there and took a lot of shots and didn't go down. He lasted a lot longer than anyone expected he was going to last against Sanchez, going all 10 rounds pretty much, although he did get stopped before the final bell rang. But credit to Leva, who just stood in there, and he's a guy I like. He's fun to watch too, man. I mean, he has heart. He has no quit in him. He just wants to slug it out and pound it out with you. What do you feel about that? You thought he was going to get out knocked out earlier, or did you feel his chin like proved to everyone that he's got a strong head, man?
I honestly, like you said, I think he's a warrior. I think he did a good job. He stayed in it. His chin was good. He was a good fighter, and I don't know. Sanchez is just the better fighter, I think, of the two. I know that I think you were going to touch on Reyes. He beat Reyes at some point as well. I don't know. I don't know a lot about him before this fight, but he looked fine. It was just, he was at work.
And that's one thing about Leva is Dave mentioned it earlier, and Leva's last few fights, he's been knocked out early on, he's been hurt bad and everything, and that's where I think a lot of people were so surprised to see that it went all 10 rounds, because I think a lot of people expected Sanchez, to beat him easily, and take him out early on, but like we were saying, Leva stood in there with a strong chin and a lot of grit and heart, so it was a good fight. It's a good fight for Solo Boxeo. I got to catch it. One thing I got to say is, it sucked that I had to watch it after everyone on Twitter was telling me about it pretty much, because they got to watch it before me for some reason, the way the cable networks are. And that sucks, because I get East Coast time and I still had to watch it on West Coast time, which really pissed me off. But other than that, shout out to Alan Dirty Sanchez. That's a new nickname from Dave Twitter. That was a hell of a fight right there. And then on the undercard, the unbeaten junior featherweight, Manuel Avila, he continued to be unbeaten, 9-0, and he registered that third round TKO over Vicente Alfaro. First of all, how did you feel about that fight? Did you feel it was entertaining? Okay. I would say no. Manuel Avila, he got third round TKO over Vicente Alfaro. It was a pretty good fight. I mean, it was only three rounds. Alfaro's corner ended up throwing in the towel. He was getting beaten up really pretty solid throughout the fight. Avila just looks good. He's moving up to his record at 9-0. I don't know if you know too much about Manuel Villa's, or have you seen any of his other fights? Have you?
I understand that he's a Golden Boy fighter. They're trying to move him along. I haven't seen a lot, but apparently they're moving along kind of slow is what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, he's looking good, though. I mean, he has a lot of talent. He has a lot of potential. He showed it on Friday night, or Saturday night, excuse me. So, you know, it was a good bout to have on the undercard. That's another thing. I think it looked like Fairfield was able to enjoy a pretty solid card throughout the evening. So that's good for them on that. And that's always good for boxing. You see these guys, you know, coming up big and, you know, stepping up in class and stepping up just the shows in general for all the fans out there. Cause, you know, fans spend a lot of and their hard earned money out there to go see these fights, especially these little club fights and venues. But so before we move on and talk about Abraham and Steglitz, we'll go into everyone who wants to call in and talk boxing. Doesn't matter what you want to talk about, as long as it's boxing. I'm not talking about, you know, you guys watching the Kardashians over there. So go ahead and call in 347-215-7598. And this is not the only show that Leaving the Ring produces out there. We also got Monday nights. We got Noche de Boxeo from 5 o'clock Pacific. Go ahead and catch that. Thursdays, we got Leave It in the Ring Radio with Dave doing it in the Dark Cloud, Gabriel Montoya. That's always going to be that's always a great show. I'm sorry, I'm making me laugh over here. That's also a great show on Thursday nights. And don't forget Undisputed Fight Magazine. If you don't get the Undisputed Fight Magazine, you know, you're not a real boxing addict. Go ahead and get that, UndisputedFightMag.com. Great articles, great writers, me, Joel Sebastianelli, David Chan, everybody out there, always great. If you want to talk to us, go ahead and you can always get a hold of us on Twitter. Get a hold of me at BigTree33. Emily, you can go ahead and say your name because I don't want to butcher your Twitter name.
My Twitter and Facebook are the same, just Emily Boxing.
There we go. And go ahead and talk to us on there, too. Don't forget, like I said, calling in 347-215-7598. Now, let's get to your favorite fighter or a fighter that you like, you said, and talk about what Dave calls him the mummy.
The mummy, yeah.
Arthur Abraham. King Arthur Abraham versus Steglitz. How do you feel about that fight? What do you think about Abraham? Where is he at in his career now? What can he do?
I think he needed this fight. I mean, I think he needed a knockout. I think the old Abraham might have actually gotten the knockout, but, you know, he really hasn't been the same since the tournament. I'm still a fan. I do think he looked good. I do think that he has a future in this division if he can, you know, keep his head right. After, I think it was, he got DQ'd, I think, for a late blow against Andre Durrell, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I think. And, right. You know, I got frustrated with him because of some of the things he said in the post-fight interview, a lot of excuses and this and that, and it was just so clear, you know, I kind of wasn't a fan for a little while because of that, and I don't know, this fight, I'm kind of a believer again. I really would like to see him, you know, move forward in his career, and I think he has now the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the fight goes, I'm kind of impressed by Abraham. Steglitz started off very well, I thought, and then Abraham kind of just changed into a different gear, changed in a different mode. I wasn't expecting that so much from him. I don't know how many people were expecting that from Abraham. Always curious to find out. You know, I've been trying to find out what people thought. A lot of people just kind of dusted off, but, you know, Abraham started landing a lot of those hard punches and everything, and, you know, even one point of the fight, which I think you're going to talk about later, your favorite referee in the world, Joe Cortez, notice I'm saying that with some kind of sarcasm. He ended up letting the bell continue, and, you know, and Abraham pulled it off, you know, and the judges scored it 116-112, 116-112, and 115-113 all for Abraham. But I definitely think that it's a huge win, obviously, for Abraham. Where do you think he goes from here, though? I know there's a lot of names that have been thrown out there, a lot of suggestions from fight fans on Twitter and all these boxing addicts everywhere. What do you feel?
There are a lot. You know, I've seen Mikael Kessler, you know, is an option. He's, you know, be a big money fight for them, I think. You know, if that's the goal there is, you know, let's cash out here. I think that's going to be his best bet. I mean, Mikael Kessler is no slouch. I do think Abraham would win that fight. I did see, I think I read that Andre Durrell is calling him out for a rematch. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I was really kind of worried about Durrell after that knockout. And then I understand that, and you told me it's Gil, Daniel Gil, I think his name is.
Yeah, Gil.
Mm-hmm. Fighting against Sturm on September 1st. And I understand that there's a possibility that the winner of that fight might fight Abraham in December, on December 15th. But I do understand that Abraham does have a date on December 15th.
I know. And now another name that, I mean, everyone was throwing this name on Twitter. I'm telling you. I mean, I thought that he had a fight and I missed it for some reason until I started reading these everyone's actual tweets. But the name Callie Pavlik has been thrown around out there, too.
I don't really want to see that. I don't know. No, I think Abraham would win that fight. I like Pavlik a lot. I do think that Abraham would win. And I don't really have, I don't know. And Pavlik's a bigger fighter than he is. I think that Abraham fights better at this lower weight.
Definitely. I wasn't too impressed with Pavlik's last few wins. It's against the guy named Cujo on the Friday night fights, and then his most recent fight against Rosinski, where I even picked Rosinski to upset Pavlik, if I remember correctly. But I definitely agree with you. I kind of want to see it, though, just so I can actually – so we can actually see that Pavlik is done, or Pavlik's not going to ever be the Pavlik of old. You know, so
yeah.
I hope that's one reason why I like to see it. Go ahead, Emily.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. You said there's a reason you want to see it?
No, I was saying that is the one reason why I would like to see it, is because I want to see, like, everyone just see that. It's not the – Pavlik's not the same Pavlik anymore, and he's not going to get to that point again.
I just don't think that that would be a fight that would help Pavlik's career in terms of fighting somebody that – I mean, I'd like to see – Kelly fighting somebody from the States, you know, I don't think that most boxing fans are going to be that interested in seeing, you know, casual fans, people that are Kelly fans, not necessarily like hardcore boxing fans. I don't think they're going to be that interested in Arthur Abraham, you know, but I don't know. I mean, he did make a little name for himself at the tournament, but I don't know. I think it best suits Abraham to fight in Europe. That seems to be a good niche for him and to kind of, you know, work through the European. Another name I saw, you know, I didn't actually, it was a tweet or something, was Boutte, also bigger, you know, than him. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Well, one thing, Callie's casual fans will probably watch anything Callie does as long as that they're at the bar. Obviously, was that too soon? My fault. I didn't mean that. That's too low. That was messed up. But, yeah, you know, I see what you're saying, Abraham. But I still think him and Abraham could make a bid for a decent draw. But I do like some of the other fighters that you mentioned. I'm just curious to see where they do with Abraham now. You know, do they keep him, you know, staying in Europe, or they try to get him a big name out here? You say Boutte is it going to come out to Canada? You know, so it's going to be interesting the way they handle the rest of his career right now. Yeah, see where he goes on from now. I mean, he's a champion now, so who's next in line for the 168 WBO belt? I know a lot of people hate saying that he's a champion. I saw a few people just saying, oh, can't call him a champion. I feel bad just saying it. So some people aren't too happy about that over in the you know, social media world. But definitely big props to Abraham, because I think a lot of people counted Abraham out a long time ago, and now he's kind of coming out of nowhere.
I agree, and I think, honestly, I think probably the best career move, you know, like, okay, what's the right fight for boxing? You know, you're looking at a Sturm or Gil, but I think from a, you know, the fans' perspective, in Europe, I think the European fans would appreciate the Kessler-Abraham matchup.
Yeah, Kessler-Abraham matchup would be a solid one. I would like that one. I like Kessler. I've always liked watching Kessler. And he's another guy who's having a bit of a resurgence in his career, too. So, you know, it could be a battle of whose career is going to keep going and moving forward, you know. loses his career, stays back. You know, the winners keep moving forward. So it should be good if that happens. Now, is it? Who knows? You know, it's curious to see. But is Kessler even got a fight coming up? Do you know offhand?
I'm not sure. I can, now that Boxrec is back up, I can look. But I don't know.
Yeah, thanks, Boxrec.
I think maybe he might want to fight Frosch. I don't know if that's another one that would be another big draw. And that.
Definitely. You know, that's another, see what Frosch is doing now. You know, I know Butte still wants to go back after him and everything. So we can see what happens there.
I'm not a fan of Butte. I've never necessarily been a fan of him, but I definitely like, I'm one of those that watches to watch him lose. Like, I hate to even say that. I just thought he was kind of overrated. I wasn't really surprised that he lost against Frosch. So I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, who he's going to fight next. Yeah, Mikel Kessler doesn't look like he has anything on the books right now.
Now, on the undercard of that fight, or of that card, too, we had Jack Colquay. He stopped, and I'm probably butchering the name, so if anyone out there, if I am, sorry about that. He stopped Frederick Sarah in round three, and that was a pretty decent fight. I got to catch that fight, too. Colquay has now moved his record to 12-0 with 8 KOs. He was a big-time world amateur fighter, you know, in the light middleweight division. I don't know if you got to catch that fight. I got to catch a stream of it real good. I just caught the ending. Did you happen to catch that at all?
I didn't see that fight. Sorry.
Oh, that's fine. Now, real quick, before we get in our guests, our guests should be coming on fairly shortly. Just going to run it down. Any callers out there that want to call in, talk boxing, you want to talk about Abraham and what he should do next or what you want to see him do next, go ahead and call in at 347-215-7598. You go ahead, call in. You're going to hear Mr. Producer David Chan, and he's going to go ahead and put you in and touch you in with us. And we got a lot more still coming. We got Ryan Bivens from Sweet Boxing later on down the road. And then we still got our guests coming on. And don't forget, on Mondays, we got Noche de Boxeo, 5 Pacific. Thursdays, Leaving in the Ring Radio, 3 hours of Boxing Talk with Dave Duenas and the Dark Cloud Gabe Montoya. And Undisputed Fight Magazine, UndisputedFightMag.com. Make sure you get it. Read it, like it, enjoy it. If you're a boxing addict, then you should have it. There's no question about that. Now, Emily, you were telling me earlier, you have a little something about the tournament?
Well, I kind of was really enthralled with the whole idea of the super middleweight tournament. I'd still like to see more innovation like that in the sport. It's something, you know, it exposes those fighters to people like that they wouldn't have been exposed to otherwise. It was kind of didn't go as well as planned. I'm not sure what needs to change, but, and I'm living in the past a little bit here, but I just think it's interesting, you know, watching, talking about Abraham, talking about Kessler, and just, I think it's interesting listening to, or looking at what the impact that tournament had on those guys' careers. Like, you know, what it did to Abraham, what it did to Kessler. Jermaine Taylor was put into retirement for a little bit. It kind of propelled Ward into more of a boxing household name, you know, and same with Darrell.
Great. Now, we have our first guest on, Emily. And you want to live in the future now. We got future talent, right? 2-0, 2 knockouts. He just won this past Friday. Mr. Javon Young, welcome to the show, Javon. Thanks for coming on the Boxing Fix. I'm Josh McDaniel. How's it going, man?
Good evening, Joshua. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on to the show. Man, you're coming off your second career pro bout, and you just won by KO.
Yep.
How's the transition from amateur to pro treating you?
Oh, gosh, it's been a... Because I boxed at a top level as an amateur, it's been a little bit difficult. It's been good. I've enjoyed it, but there's a lot of changes, you know. When you box at Olympic level, you really get into the whole point system. And pro boxing is very, very different, you know. But it's been good. I've loved
it.
I prefer it.
Because, you know, you just mentioned that, and this is something I've always said, and a lot of people believe, when people have been fighting a lot in the amateurs, they get stuck in that, you know, point system, you know, the kind of the pity-pat punches.
Most definitely.
You've been KOing your opponents. You know, is that something you look for when you go in as a pro now? Are you looking for the KO?
Well, yeah, definitely. Even as an amateur, I had a good stoppage record. As an amateur, I stopped a lot of people. So I always kind of had that naturally, you know, with speed and power. But, yeah, definitely with amateurs, more about speed. But when I get into the ring now for pro bouts, I'm definitely looking for the knockout, yeah. You don't get paid overtime.
I've never heard that before. That's a good way to put it, you know.
Yeah, you don't get paid for overtime in the ring, yeah.
Hey, I heard you had, for this fight, this past fight, you had the same day weigh-ins for the fight. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was difficult. Yeah, that was difficult. But again, I enjoyed it. It's something, you know, something I did as an amateur. I'd have to do it sometimes back-to-back for days as an amateur, weighing every day, you know. So I'm pretty used to it.
Well, how does that come about? I mean, and do you like it like that, or do you like how it's the usual, you know, the day before?
No, I prefer the day before, because, you know, you get to get down in weight, and then you can rehydrate, you can eat, you can chill, you can relax. When you do it same day, you know, you've got to wake up, check your weight, make sure it's on point. You've got to, you know, put the stuff back into your body, and then you've got to fight in the evening. So, yeah, it's a lot better to weigh in the day before, of course.
Right. Now, how did that come about, though, then? Why did you guys have to do same-day weigh-ins?
That's just how they did it. I don't know. It's just how they decided to do it. Just did it on the same day. They let us know. And in actual fact, there's a misunderstanding. I thought it was the weighing was the day before. But where I'm naturally a super middleweight, making 175 is not very hard for me, you know? I had my last fight at 175, and it's not very hard for me. So weighing in the day after didn't really hurt me too much, whereas it would have if I was like fighting at super middleweight. It would have really hurt doing that.
If you were Chavez Jr., it would really hurt you, from what I know. I'm just saying.
if you're Chavez Jr., it's impossible.
Yeah, exactly. Now, For a lot of people who don't know, you were supposed to fight for Jamaica in the Olympics, but because of certain issues, you weren't able to. What were the exact issues? What came about?
Oh, gosh. It's a hard one. Basically, if I'm going to be completely honest with you, politics in terms of, I'm English. I'm English. I was born in England. Some people are cool with that. Some people ain't. That's the bottom line, if I'm honest with you. You know, a lot of Jamaicans obviously feel that guys that are born in Jamaica and live in Jamaica should have the opportunity. Real boxing people could see I was easily the best in the country at my weight, the best in the country at any weight, and that I was the man to go, and I was the man for the job. But they made the decision. I'm going to be respectful of that. I'm not going to really say too much, you know, nothing bad about the country. I had many great moments with them. You know, I went to the World Championships, went to the Pan Am Games, Commonwealth Games, won the medal. So there's no bad blood there. But, yeah, I missed my opportunity, so I came over here and went pro.
Now, that leads me to my next question. Do you feel like that was kind of like maybe a blessing in disguise that you didn't compete in the Olympics?
Blessing in disguise. Oh gosh, that's a hard one. Okay, I'm in a great stable. I've got a great coach. You know, I'm enjoying it. I'm here in Miami. I'm working with Orlando Coya. I'm winning two fights, two knockouts. So how can it not be a blessing? You've got to see it that way. But at the same time, watching guys I've beat go to the Olympics and then beat Olympians, knowing that I would have gone there and got a medal. It's hard not to think, what if, you know? It's hard not to think that way, but I'm not going to think that way. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep winning these fights, stay in the gym, keep positive, and just keep winning.
Now, since we're on the Olympic subject, you know, we've heard a lot of different things from different people.
Yeah.
Talking about, they don't like the Olympic style, the how corrupt. What's your feeling about it? Did you pay attention to this past Olympics?
I did. I knew you were going to ask me this question. I did pay attention to it. The truth is, okay, what do you want to know, in regards to Americans or in regards to Olympics overall, Olympic fighters?
Basically,
some countries, in terms of like lateral movement and slipping punches, anticipation, some countries tend to be better at that. Some countries tend to have a style that's more suited for Olympic level fighting. Some countries tend to have a style that's more suited amateur fighting. So some countries do a lot better in amateurs, and they have a lot better amateur programs. Some countries focus on just only pro boxing from the beginning, you know, even train their amateurs like pros. And the truth is, to win at Olympic level, you have to train like an Olympic fighter. You have to train to amateur boxing. Amateur boxing and pro boxing are like two different sports, man. Literally, they're like two different sports. So, you know, for amateur boxing, you've got to train amateur. You've got to do in and out. You've got to be very in and out. Everything's got to be super quick. You've got to do a lot of sprints. It's not so much about power. Pro boxing, you've got to be tough. You've got to be tough. You've got to be game. And you've got to be ready to fight. So they're very different, man. Very different.
Now, how do you feel about the whole U.S. team and everything?
Well, I've seen it over the years, and even being here and training here, the amateurs tend to. I've not been to every gym. I've not been around everyone, so I'm not gonna say. But they tend to train like pros. Even the amateurs that train in the gym, they tend to box like pros. They tend to do what pros do. From what I've heard, the feeling here is generally that they don't really fund it the way it's funded in other countries. In other countries, amateur boxers are very highly respected. A lot of money's put in, and you know, they're paid. You know, some amateurs don't even want to go pro in certain countries. They're paid so much money to stay amateur, they're not even interested in going pro. You know, but I think in America,
right.
it's all about going pro. It's all about being a professional. You know, which is kind of what's been hindering their amateur medals as of late.
Exactly, and that's where the money is at in America, is the pro level rather than, you know, the amateur.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Yeah. Now, Javon, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pass you to Emily. She's going to go ahead and ask you some questions. I'll probably be back on the line, too.
Okay.
Javon, hi. I'm kind of...
Good evening, Emily.
How are you?
Good evening. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Javon and I know each other well. Somebody in a friend of his reached out to me a few months ago and asked me if I'd be interested in working with them. So I have been working with him in a limited fashion. It's kind of hard because he's in Miami and I'm in Phoenix, but we're trying to make it work. But Javon, thanks for coming on. How did you?
With a pleasure. With a pleasure.
How did you end up in Miami? Like, what brought you to Miami specifically with Orlando?
Okay, at the time I was representing Jamaica, and at the time, you know, I was very much into, you know, Orlando was Glenn Johnson's trainer, and I was thinking, you know, the great Glenn Johnson, you know, and the opportunity of obviously being like him someday, you know, and I had a friend, we had a mutual friend who was a female boxer that was working with Orlando, and she recommended him, so me being me, you know, I didn't think twice, followed my dream, jumped on a plane, got down there, met him, got in the gym, he liked me, I liked him, we connected, started working together, and even as an amateur, when he was training me, I never ever lost, did the Pan Ams, got a silver medal, you know, got a silver medal station. As an amateur working with him, I'd done very well. So obviously when it was time to go pro, he was the only name in my head, the only person I thought of.
I didn't realize that you'd worked with him as an amateur. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, we did a bit. We did a bit of flying and, you know, flying and train, do training camps, and it went really well. So, you know, I made the moves.
You helped Glenn Johnson get ready for his previous fight, correct?
Yeah, we did a lot of sparring, you know, getting him prepared for that fight in Chicago.
And what other, or what do you think about him? I mean, was he good to work with? I mean, you know, are you still in touch with him? I know he retired, right?
Yeah, he's retired now, yeah. Glenn was great to work with. Glenn was, he's a good role model, you know, he gave me a lot of advice, you know, very, very, I thought I was a tough guy, you know, but the way, you know, as you know, he just come forward fighter, stays in the pocket, goes toe-to-toe. So when I'm there and I've got this guy in front of me and he looks like he's not going anywhere, not willing to break, you know, and it taught me a lot about what real toughness was, you know, and really like biting on your gum shield and just going at it.
And,
Glenn, great guy.
What other names have you worked with there in Miami that boxing fans listening to the show might have heard of?
Obviously, Luis Franco, he's down there, British Prescott, Mike Oliveira, Francis Bartholomew, there's a few guys down there, a few Cubans, and I can't pronounce all their names so well. But yeah, there's a few guys down there.
All right, and So in terms of, you know, being a fan of boxing, I mean, are you a fan of boxing? Do you pay attention to the sport? If so, who are some fighters that you follow that you enjoy watching?
Well, first of all, I'll make it clear, boxing's my life. Boxing's my whole life. I live, eat, and sleep boxing. That's all, you know. That's my only concern right now, and I'm a huge fan of boxing. My favorite boxer was obviously prime Roy Jones. Roy Jones at middleweight for me, that was my favorite at the time. But now, obviously, I've got to say it's Floyd Mayweather. Right now, Floyd Mayweather is obviously the obvious number one pound for pound fighter.
Okay. And is there anybody you see yourself that you know kind of a dream fight for you in the future, maybe in the next year, 2 years as your career progresses?
Oh God, I already have got my eye on Andre Ward.
Okay.
Yeah, really, I've got my own Andre Ward, of course. Now, obviously, I'll be a future. He's the best at that, at my weight in the world. So, of course, you know, you only want to fight the best and be the best.
Now, Javon, who do you like, Javon, in Ward versus Dawson?
Oh, Ward versus... Do you know what? Every day I've got a different opinion on that. Every day I wake up in the morning, I'm like, I think Ward can do him. And I'm like, no, I think... Do you know what? I feel Dawson's very... He's already big at light heavyweight. So I just feel he's going to be too drained at super middle. So for that reason, I'm going
to
go with Ward.
All right, now, we talked about this before you just came on. We were talking about Arthur Abraham. Same weight class, he's also European. How'd you feel about that fight? And where do you see him in his career now?
Arthur Abraham, I think he was found out by Carl Froch. I feel he was found out, to be honest with you. Up until the Carl Froch fight, he was rated as a really, really good, you know, one of the best middleweights in the world. I think that he's better at middleweight. He's a much better middleweight. And I thought, yeah, he's obviously a very talented, very dangerous fighter. But for me, he at super middleweight, he's not one of the top players, in my humble opinion.
Right. Now, how would you describe your style of fighting, you know, for everyone out there that hasn't seen you fight yet?
Okay, my style of fighting, I'm very very relaxed, very confident, and very playful. And then I'll hold the center in the ring and box with you, and then I'll just switch it on and get very aggressive, very, very aggressive, mix it up, body and head, and just come forward. I'll come forward relentlessly for every single part of you. And then obviously back to the middle again, boxing, playful, and then whenever I want, a drop of a hat, I'll come forward and turn it on. I've got knockout power in either hand, you know. So, you know, however they want to do it, we can do it.
So, Vaughn, right. I know you're heading back to the UK here. You're leaving this week, right?
Yes, I'm leaving this. I'm actually leaving tomorrow afternoon.
And when you're there, I mean, what do you plan on doing in terms of training? Do you plan on taking any fights while you're there? Are you going to kind of wait until you get back to Miami and kind of treat that as a holiday?
Oh, possibly. Well, at first glance, it was a case of, you know, going back, seeing the family, just chilling out. It was like a break. But everyone wants to see me, talk to me about, you know, possibilities of working together. I've had a lot of messages regarding sparring people and, you know, people want to sit down with me, promoters, et cetera, et cetera. So... it looks like it's not going to be a holiday. It looks like it's going to be work.
Okay.
I can't wait. I just want to get, you know, I want to obviously go to England, see the family, see everyone, and just get back here and get back in the gym and keep doing what I like doing, which is fighting and winning.
Well, you're doing good at it so far.
Now, Javon, now that you're in Miami, you know, before we let you go, how do you like being in Miami, man? Besides still boxing out, you know, the living-wise, living style, how do you like it, man?
Oh, Miami's great. It's great because it's got the right, you know, the right temperament. Everyone's quite relaxed, easygoing, quite happy. And when you're working every day the way me and Orlando do, like every day we work hard, you know, we work hard, give 100%. We're very serious in the gym. So it's important that when we leave the gym, it's a, you know, nice, sunny, happy environment. So that's working really well for me. I think if I was working how I'm working so hard and intently in a cold, miserable climate, or even back home where people, you know, where it's colder, it'd be very difficult mentally to stay happy and to stay in a good place. But in Miami, like I said, everyone's so happy, positive, that it makes it easy.
Nice. Now, Javon, I want to thank you for coming on the show, man. this, you're one guy that everyone needs to watch out for, man. Tell everyone out there
that
they can find you. Twitter, Facebook, you name
it.
Oh,
yeah, I've got my fan page on Facebook, which is at Javan Young Star. So it's Javan Young Star. Javan Young Star on Facebook. On Twitter also, Javan Young Star in one word. And that's me, so you can find me. And all my upcoming fights, and I've got a few videos of me training, a few videos of me fighting, and yeah, you can get a lot of information on there.
Great, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on. It was great having
you. Thank you very much for having me. It was great talking to you guys. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Thanks, Javan.
Okay, thank you. Bye bye.
All right, that was Javan Young right there. You guys, everyone out there listening, that's got someone to watch out for. You know, you hear a lot of talented names out there. He's already 2-0, two knockouts. He wasn't even supposed to turn pro, from what it sounds like. He was supposed to be in the Olympics, and, you know, because of politics, he's pro. So, you know, I'm excited about hearing. I love hearing young stars, man, and guys who are in, or big into boxing, not just as a fighter, but they grow up as fans, too. It's always good to hear that. It makes me feel like the sport's still living and breathing, you know. So, I know this is one of your fighters, but, hey,
he's a smart fighter. I've watched a lot of video on him. I haven't seen him live yet. Watch a lot of video. He's exciting to watch. He's a finisher. You know, that's one big thing for me is being able to actually finish him when he got him hurt. And there's a few fighters out there that, you know, at this level, the younger, you know, the earlier level that can do that, and he's one of them. So I'm excited to be working with him. I like him. He's a good guy.
Yeah, no, definitely that was great, man. And, you know, all the listeners out there, that's, like we said, make sure you watch out for him. This is why we're doing this show. This is that prospect show. Everyone needs to hear some about these guys. And, you know, he might be only 2-0, but he's definitely a guy to watch out for. And the interesting story being that he went from the U.K., to Jamaica and now to Miami. I mean, I've never been to Jamaica, but I know I heard it's nice out there, but I've never been to Miami either, and I heard it's nice. So,
where Javan struggles, or where he's, you know, he's having struggles out there in Miami, is just the business side of things. His trainer's a good trainer, but, you know, in this business, if you don't have somebody good by your side from a manager type standpoint, you know, you can struggle, and that's where. You know, I think it was like a month ago he had a fight scheduled in North Carolina, another same-day weigh-in. They flew him out the same day, the morning of, same-day weigh-in, and then his opponent didn't show until, like, the last minute they're trying to find a new opponent for him. It was just, there's things like that happening, you know. I'm hoping that, you know, he perseveres and continues to just, you know, perform in the ring and doesn't, you know, those things don't affect him.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's crazy that he just fought in a fight that he had to do the same day weigh-in. And that's why I brought up, you know, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Like, imagine if he had to do the same day weigh-in. If there was same day weigh-in, Chavez Jr. would be fighting as a cruiserweight or maybe even a heavyweight. So
you're right. That's
bizarre to me. I haven't even heard about that. Like, the fact, like, he made a good point. He's lucky that he's close to his natural weight's close to his fighting weight. It wasn't that, so it's not that hard to, you know, stay at that weight for one more day. But, man, that must have been and especially he said he didn't know, so that must have been interesting that, you know, to go through all that, the day before the fight and then the day of the fight.
And, you know, he didn't know. And, after the last time that happened, they matched him up, too. He was 1-0, and they matched up with a fighter. It was like 4-22 or something, which I was like, that's a lot of fights. That's a lot of experience. Even if it's a really horrible record, that's a lot of experience as a pro, you know. And you know, I kind of talked to some people on the East Coast who are some more familiar with the East Coast boxing scene, Johnny Boz and Alan Cohut, and they're like, this stuff happens all the time. The same day weigh-in stuff, these shows where it's last minute, happens all the time. We don't see that in Phoenix. It's a lot more pre-planned and just different, you know, and over there, I guess that kind of stuff happens all the time. So that was, you know, kind of eye-opening for me, and I hope that, like I said, he's got a good trainer who really does care about him, has his interest in heart, and, you know, I know that they're gonna continue to be successful.
Definitely, definitely. So I wish a lot of luck to him in his career. Right now, I know usually it's at the end of the show, but because of you know, all these prospects you got on. We got the man, Mr. Sweet Boxing himself, Ryan Bivens on. Ryan, what's going on, brother? How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Hey, man, doing great. Hanging in there, man. So trying to do the thing without Joel. We got Emily on. She's doing a great job. So man, Ryan, what's the fight, man? How's the weekend looking for you with these fights? What did you see that everyone has to see?
Well, it was probably the busiest weekend in August for me. And obviously the headline was Arthur Abraham fight, which was fairly entertaining for an Abraham fight. Probably because Stiegel isn't as good as a lot of people thought he was, which I always knew. But, you know, that shows Arthur, you know, he's still in the mix for the guys who are underneath the top. But as far as the best fight goes, I'd have to give it up to, well, we're going to talk about the best fight I saw, and we're going to talk about the most controversial, which I hit you earlier with. But the best fight I saw was on Friday. It was in Argentina. Oscar Jesus Pereira, I can't get his last name quite right, versus Vincent Martin Rodriguez. This fight was action-packed. You might know Vincent Martin Rodriguez from his HBO debut with Adrian Broner. That top Broner, you know, was, you know, pretty much given his WBO super featherweight title on a silver platter. Broner ended up knocking this guy out in the third round, and he ended up getting dropped. He ended up getting dropped in the first round against this Oscar Jesus dude. So I said, wow, you know, this guy, he's ready to go. But he rallied back. You know, his second round, you know, he's pouring his heart out. He had a good round. Third round, he drops the guy. And they just go to war for, like, the rest of the fight. And he eventually, Rodriguez eventually pulls out a stoppage in the seventh round. So definitely a must-see fight.
Definitely. Now, let's talk real quick about the controversial fight. I know you wanted to mention it. Let everyone know about that fight, because the clip you sent me, that was first of all, let me talk about that real quick. What was his name? Is it Gramajo? The one that was that got...
Right. Gramajo was the undefeated fighter.
Right.
He was undefeated fighter. You know, he's coming in. You know, he's expected to win. And it looks like the ref is doing everything he can just to make sure he, you know, leaves with his undefeated record. I mean, because, you know, he was schooling this Christian Torres guy through, like, you know, the first nine rounds. Very similar to the first fight between Lucien Bute and LeBron Andrade. But then, you know, it just fell apart in the last round, man. And he honestly should have been a knockout. I mean, he's getting beat up, you know, fairly reasonably for, like, the first 2 minutes of the round, maybe first 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And then with about 30 seconds to go, he gets dropped, 35 seconds to go. You know, he's looking done. He's not looking over to his corner. The referee's counting. He's not looking at the referee. He's walking over to the side of the ropes. You know, referee gets the aid. He's like, you know, you want to continue. He's still not looking at the referee. He's not responding. You know, he's still, like, you know, up against the ropes, sliding around the ring. He's getting beat up more and more. And, I mean, he's just taking a brutal beating in there. Like, most referees honestly would have just stepped in at least two times by now. But all of a sudden, they take a break in a fight and let the guy who is, you know, dishing out to be in Torres, put in his mouthpiece, which he obviously didn't need at that time. He was supposed to wait until it was low in action, and he's beating the hell out of the guy. And the other guy actually fell down, but they didn't call it a knockdown. They put his mouthpiece back in, and they went back. They resumed it some more. He continues to beat the hell out of him. And then the other guy's mouthpiece comes out, and even though there's, once again, not a low in the action, they stop the fight again. And, you know, they let him put his mouthpiece back in, recover. They start to fight up again. He takes more of a beating, and he pretty much just beats him until the final bell rings. So, I mean, you can stop the fight at least three times.
And you know, one thing I noticed in that? Ryan, and I don't know if the rules are different out there, but we've all saw it with the Kirkland and Molina fight. That guy's corner was standing, you know, on top of the ring the whole time. even after he gave him his mouth check and stuff. So I mean, that's in plain sight of the ref. Like we can't make the argument that the ref's back was turned or anything. No, the ref was facing him, and he was in fact trying to wave the ref to tell him to stop it. You know, and the ref it looked like the ref just didn't want that guy to lose. I'm not going to say anything, but hey, collusion.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
We'll go.
I mean, I got to give it up to Argentina though, for these fights they put on. I mean, this was a Friday. They had three different televised cards. I think this one was on DirecTV. They had another card on TV Publica and another one on TYC. I mean, in the United States, we only had one card on Friday. It was Showbox. That was the only televised card we had. I mean, you get shown up by Argentina, that's just that says something about the boxing we got going on in this country right now, the amount of attention that the networks give to it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's so many – they let so many things go on. And then out here we can't even get – you know, we're lucky if we get a fight on a Friday at sometimes, you know, especially when there's no Friday night fights on ESPN. But before we let you go, I got to ask you this. This is what I want to know. We talked about it earlier. Abraham, where does he go from here? Who do you want to see him fight next?
I'd like to see him fight Kelly Pavlik or Felix Sturm, you know, because they're all in the same boat. A bunch of blown-up middleweights past their prime, you know, seeking some money. And they make for a good matchup. Would it have been better 5 years ago? Absolutely. But, you know, it's better late than never, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely, definitely. Now, let everyone know where they can catch you at, you know, your Twitter handle and that brilliant website that saves my life when I can't find links for some of these fights.
Well, yeah, the website where you can catch replays of the fights I put up is sweetboxingvideos.wordpress.com. And on Twitter, at sweetboxing. A lot of the fights, obscure fights I have to watch, you know, online, you know, feeds myself. You know, I can't, unfortunately, right. Just can't get most boxing around the world on any TV and, you know, around the world. Boxing is a global sport, and you're only going to be limited to, you know, pretty much local stuff from your cable provider. So, internet's the way to go, and Sweet Boxing Videos is your number one source. But get at me on Twitter, at Sweet Boxing. I can tweet you live streams from time to time if you don't want to watch them on replay. So, that's it.
Ryan,
thank
I'm
you,
a big
thank
fan.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on. It's always great.
This is Emily Ryan. I'm a fan. I appreciate you always putting the fights online. I always know where to find them if I need them. And I know you put Benavidez's fight online. I appreciate that. So just want to say thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for using it. You know, spread the word.
All right, man. I'll let you go and go catch your shows. And I know you told me you got some shows to watch today. So thanks for calling.
Yeah. You tried to get me on after 10. I'm like, well, hold on now. Breaking Bad comes on at 10. I mean, I love the boxing fix, but come on now, Breaking Bad. I mean, that's like number two after boxing for me.
All right, man. Thanks for taking time out of your day, like always, man. You're a good man.
Yeah, have a good one. All right, peace.
Okay. All right, now, Emily, we have our next guest actually blocked and ready. Are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
All right. Today, Chen, bring on the guy, Michael Medina. Mr. Michael Medina, how's it going? You were on the Boxing Fix with Josh McDaniel and Emily Pandadick. How's it going?
Hey, how you doing? Good afternoon, man. Thanks for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here. Everything cool over here. How are you guys doing?
Michael, this is Emily. Thanks for coming on. I had a couple questions for you to start off with.
Sure.
Tell the fans who don't may or may not know about you, tell them a little about your history as a pro. I know that you signed with Lou DiBella this year, and obviously you have your next fight coming up on the Chavez Jr. undercard. Tell us a little about your history, your professional history. What got you to the point of signing with DiBella? You know, kind of what's the history there?
Okay, no problem. Okay, well, I'm Michael Medina. All right, my record is 25 wins. I have 3 losses and 2 draws, 19 KOs. I started my boxing career in Mexico, Monterrey, Mexico. I did most of my career over there, and in 2010, I moved to L.A. to continue my career and try to follow my dream, which is become a champion. Last year was a little stagnated. I didn't get to fight as much as I wanted to. I was supposed to be signing a contract with Top Rank and getting all the big fights coming in, but they got me waiting after I won my championship with NABF against Grady Brewer on December 22nd. So now, gratefully, I have a team. I have, like, the whole team gathered. I have a great trainer, Eric Brown, from the Wild Card. I have Steve Fader, who's working as my representative, and Lou DeBell as a promoter. So with this team, I feel confident that this year, definitely, we're going to get some big fights coming up. And I'm also, I've had this time to improve my skills, improve my technique. And I'm ready to go. I'm about to fight on September 15th, and the undercard of Chavez against Martinez. And I'm ready to go. I'm ready to give the fans a very good show.
Good. How did you end up on this card? I know that you signed back in July. You know how did you end up getting on this card? How did you get the call to get on the Chavez Jr. undercard?
Correct. Yeah, I signed in July with Lou DeBella, and they were trying to get me in a card, you know, any card. I was basically talking to Lou and telling him how encouraged I've been to fight, and I need a fight because as a fighter, you know, you need to keep active. So they were trying to look for something to get me in, and finally I received a call from Steve Fader letting me know that there was an opportunity opening up on September 15th. And I was like, okay, let's do this. And the first guy they had to fight me was Abel Terry, who, I don't know, there was some circumstances that impeded him from showing up in the fight night. So now I think they have this kid named James the Shotgun Winchester, and he's going to be my opponent on this card. So, I mean, let's do it, you know. That's what I told him. Let's sign the papers and let's get it done.
Awesome. So you won the NABF belt back last December. I understand you may or may not be defending it on this card. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I had. It was my understanding that I was going to defend the NABF. For some reason, I think they might, my promoters and my team might be looking for something else, you know, maybe another championship. I'm not sure. I'm just here to fight. And I think this is going to be an 8-rounder. I'm not sure exactly if it's going to be a 10 or an 8. They're going to clear me that in this week. But for now, I think that I'm not going to fight for the championship. So I might end up losing that championship, but obviously going for another one.
Okay. And who's going to – you train at the Wild Card Gym, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what kind of sparring do you get out there at the Wild Card? I mean, obviously a lot of the stars train there.
Emily, I like that you asked that question because, honestly, that's one thing I love about my gym. I get the best sparring in the world. I get the opportunity to spar the likes of Manny Pacquiao, Peter Quillin. I get Matthew Macklin. I get fighters from all around the world and with different skill levels. So I'm really happy right now. For this fight, I'm sparring with Peter Quillin. I'm sparring with some kids that just came from London. So there's a lot of variety, and also it helps me to check where my skills are and how hard I have to work in order to get better, you know. So it's actually great to be in the Wild Card for that reason.
Good. Tell us, for the listeners, what else you do besides boxing. Like, what do you enjoy doing? What kind of other things do you have going on in your life?
Well, I was a full-time boxer, you know, but as economy is right now, like, I have to work. I work for the city of L.A. I work for the Department of PICO Union, which is a council. I work as an administrator there part-time. So that's what I do besides boxing, you know, but that doesn't impede me from training 100%. Like, what I love, and it's boxing. That's my passion, and as soon as I can start doing it full-time, I will start doing it full-time.
Now, Michael, this is Josh McDaniel with Boxing Fix. Now, how hard is the balance? Pretty good, man. Thanks. how hard is it to balance, you know, your day, the day job, if you want to call it that, you know, working with the city and your passion of boxing? Is it hard to balance it out?
Yeah, man. Honestly, at the beginning, it was a little awkward to be able to catch the sparrings, and I had my trainer's is very strict personality. He's always, like, in point. He wants you to be on time on the gym, so actually, I really appreciate that from him, but it's possible, you know. Like, what comes to mind to me is I remember all these old-school fighters that used to have to go work in the mines and then come back after a tiring day of working with their body and then just box, you know. And they were able to do it. They were champions. They used to fight 3-4 times a month. So, obviously, it is hard, but it's possible. And back in the day, they used to do it even worse, you know. So that kind of, like, keeps me focused and keeps me grateful with what I have and just keeping trying to keep it going, you know.
Right, and I know your trainer, Eric Brown, he's very strict on that, like being totally focused 100% on the sport of boxing. So you guys never had a clash or anything? He understands what you got to do?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, obviously, you know, there's always like that mentor-fighter argument. Sometimes I'm a little stubborn, but I trust him, and I really like to work with him. So, I mean, I abide by his rules, and I'm getting better. Honestly, my technique is improving so much. I'm a well-around better fighter, and I have that to thank to Eric Brown and also to my new team that I have. Emily is also part of my team now. She's going to be the PR. She's going to be helping me with all that publicizing and all the things that she's very good at.
Nice. How about, since you're training that wild card, I know, you know, Brown's your coach. Does he get, I know he works a lot with Freddie too. Does Freddie come and give you like words of advice at times, or how's that work at all?
Sometimes, like, honestly, Freddie's he's a very busy fighter. He's an elite fighter. He's an elite trainer. You know, he's with Manny Pacquiao. He had Amir Khan, Chavez Jr. So his time is really, really tight, but he's a good person, and he always takes the time. If he can help you, he will tell you a tip or two. But mainly my focus is with Eric Brown. He's the one who's always there putting the hours with me and actually improving. And I used to be, you know, I'm Mexican-American. My blood comes forward, you know. Like, it's kind of like I'm struggling because my blood comes forward. I want to trade punches. I want to just give and receive, and Eric Brown has this mentality where it's like hit and not get hit, which is the important thing, you know, is what you want to achieve in boxing. So it's I struggle with that, but I like it because it keeps me balanced. It keeps me focused, it keeps me on distance, and also my blood and my style keeps me going forward and looking for that knockout.
Right. Now, speaking of that, and especially being Mexican, that Mexican blood, I know you don't like losing and everything, not that anyone does, but would you ever be interested in getting another shot to avenge that loss against Duddy?
Totally. You know, that I know it's not good to have pride in this sport because it doesn't help at all. But there's three losses I had in my career. One of them was against Vanes Matarossian in the beginnings of my career. We were both undefeated. I think I had 17 fights, 17-0, and he was like 19-0 or something like that. That was a great fight. He won on points because he was an outboxer. He had that Olympic style where he would just tip-tap with a jab and move around and outbox me. I landed great shots. It was a very competitive fight, but nonetheless, he beat me, right? Then I fought John Duddy. That fight took place in middleweight, which I don't feel that it's my natural weight. And the fight was really close. Some people thought it was really, really close, that it could go into any one of us. I certainly thought that I didn't thought I got robbed, but I thought that I had to knock out to win. You know what I'm saying? But eventually it gave me a lot to learn, and it was a good fight. I know that he retired after he lost with Chavez Jr., so I don't know if it's going to be possible to make that fight happen.
Right.
But if he comes back and he wants to fight, and I will be totally open to fight with a fighter like John Duddy.
Now, you know, it seems that a lot of people, and, you know, sometimes count you out before even your fight begins. I know a lot of people thought Brewer was going to be able to handle you, and you pull it out. Does all the hate, you know, the naysayers or the haters, does that motivate you even more? And does it feed you, feed fuel to the fire, I guess you could say, to punishing your opponents?
I think it does in some way, but it's not my main motivation, you know? Like right now, I have a baby coming on the way, so that really motivates me. The haters, they're always going to be haters when you're doing good things good, you know? But I kind of like the fact that they look down to me because that gives me an edge and gives me an advantage. These guys have seen me fight back in the day when I wasn't as skilled. I had only heart and I had balls. So I went forward and I threw shots. Now I have a trainer who's working on my style and certainly my technique, and they're going to be up to a surprise when they see me fight this upcoming September 15th because they're not expecting the Michael Medina who's going to show up. Huh? And I like that. I like that. Believe that. I love it.
Now, you know, just before I get you out, I got one more question I wanted. I know Emily asked you, you know, about how you got the fight and everything, but how important was it for you to make sure you're on that undercard of the Martinez-Chavez?
Oh, man, it was great. Like, when they gave me the news, I got jumping in, like, just, like, all happy, yelling. I don't know. It's just, like, the opportunity to fight in a car like this for a fighter like me that hasn't fought in almost a year is, like, is giving honey to that bear, you know? Like, it's amazing. It's a great opportunity, and after I got the news, I went running, and every day starting to add more time to my runs, add more time to my gym, and all I want to do is to show what I got, and obviously that I want to give the fans of boxing like a good show. I have losses on my career already. Honestly, when I was undefeated, I remember fearing to lose. Now it's more like I'm gonna go there and I'm gonna do the best I can. And I don't even care about losing, but I won't lose. Like, I'm going to win, and that's all I have in my mind. And that's the mindset that I got for this fight. I want to win, and I want to win by KO.
All right, so what can the fans expect on the 15th, man? You tell everyone right now.
Well, you can expect for sure a lot of punches. You can expect a lot of excitement. And I can't promise a knockout because I don't know the outcome of the fight. But I can promise you that from the first sound of the bell until the last sound of that last ring, I'm going to be looking for the knockout. And if it comes, welcome. And if it not, everyone there is going to see and they're going to know that Michael Medina was trying to knock out his opponent.
That's what's up, man. All right, Michael, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for coming on. Why don't you give a shout out your any social media you have for everyone to follow you on Twitter or whatever you may have.
All right, for sure, man. Thank you. Everyone can follow me at One Magnificent M on Twitter. And I got Facebook, Michael Medina. You can check me out. I will be posting. I've been posting my runs that I've been doing. I've been posting a little bit of my training camp that is taking along. But now with Emily Pandelakis, I know she's going to do a great job, and she's going to be more in tune with all the training camp, and she's going to be also there taking care of basically publicizing more of what's going on with Michael Medina, you know?
Nice, Michael. Thanks for coming on. Emily, any last things to say before we let Michael go?
No, Michael, thanks for coming on. I'm sure I'll talk to you really soon.
No, thank you very much for the invitation. I hope you guys have a nice weekend, all right?
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, and we got a caller on the line. We got Frank from California on the line waiting to talk some boxing. Frank, what's going on, man?
Frank,
you there? I don't know if Frank's on. Frank, if you're there, you know, say something, man. Don't be scared.
Maybe just leave him on. He'll come back. He always steps away from the phone.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's probably stepped away during the interview or whatever. Maybe he's on mute. Who knows? But we'll try to get him back on. If we can't get him back on before our next guest. But, yeah, Michael Medina sounded great, man. That was good to hear. I like the confidence. I like that he wants to go into this fight have knocked his opponent out and put on a good show. So he sounded like a very confident fighter, and like he, even those losses, he's learned from him. He's he made them even more hungry to get back in the ring and continue his career.
Yeah, and I think you see that a lot in this business. You know, people, you know, they kind of are beholden to the promoters, and he's kept a good attitude about it. He's confident without being cocky, and that's the thing I like about him. Is he's just a genuinely, like, nice guy. So, and I'll give a little shout-out to his girl, Tasha, who also trained at the Wild Card, and she has a radio show, too, and they're good together. They're both really good people.
You know, it's funny. I totally forgot before we let him go. I wanted to congratulate him on having for his girlfriend being pregnant. So, congratulations, Michael, if you're ever, if you're still listening. And I knew it's funny. I didn't know he was out in that. I didn't know he was still out in L.A. But I noticed it when I heard the sirens in the background. But I think Frank's back on. Frankie, are you there?
I was never gone. I heard everything.
All right. What's going on, Frank? What do you want to talk about, brother?
Just hanging out. Loving to see Emily's doing their thing on your show. Good show for the most part. I'm here to kind of update everybody and bring everybody up to the current fight. I want to know what you guys think about the upcoming fight, September 8th, having a hell of a... We had more fights in September 8th coming up than we did the whole goddamn summer. Am I tripping or what? But, you know, on top of all that, whoever's in the background was talking, seriously, they need to quiet up. There's some horrible feedback here. But,
I know, I can barely hear anything, too.
Yeah, I can barely hear myself talking. It sounds like Sister Levine Johnson back there telling somebody what to do. I'm not going to sugarcoat shit. You guys got one of the best phone callers out there, one of the best show hosts out there calling your show, so Sister Levine needs to shut up. I'm just kidding.
No, I know, you're good. I know about you, man, so go ahead. Keep going.
Who the hell doesn't? Emily, I love you. Seriously, you're the shit. I love it. It's great to see a female so into boxing and actually not just into watching the boxing and drinking a beer and farting after they drink that, and you're actually out there handling these people, and you got these young guys in there and focused on keeping themselves humble. And everything you say that the previous phone caller, the previous boxer was on, I forget his name, Medina, right? Michael Medina? You know, keeping them in that way. You know, people, these guys come from a hellish land, you know, and they need guidance. So, you know, hopefully you can stick to that and you're a blessing in the sport. But let's go talking about the big fight. Chavez Juicer Junior versus Sergio the Beast Maravilla Martinez. Let's talk about some real pay-per-view fights, which we haven't had many of this summer. And I, just like I said before, September 8th has more fights in one day than we've had this whole summer, it seems like.
First of all, I'll tell you this, man. This month has been hellish. Dude, I thought I went in a boxing coma for a second. I didn't even know there was boxing existed for a while in this month, other than Olympic boxing, you know. But I can't wait. I definitely am excited for Ward and Dawson. I think that's going to be a good fight. I like Ward a lot. I think Ward's going to pull it off. But to answer your question, the big pay per view fight, I'm going with Sergio. I can't see why any other way to go against him right now. I mean, he's proven he's quicker. I think even though he might be the smaller guy, and Chavez Jr. will be fighting at 280 pounds for this fight or however he's going to weigh in, I still think the speed's going to kill Chavez. So I can't wait for that fight. It's going to be a hell of a fight. I know that.
I think it's our biggest fight of the year, really. And I think seeing Dawson and Ward, I'm intrigued about the matchup, but I'm not excited about the matchup. Both guys have never had a fight where either one of us have been like, whoa! You know what I mean? Those dudes, like, kind of bore the shit out of me whenever I watch them fight. Like most American, African-American athletes nowadays, other than Floyd Mayweather, I must say. These guys are cookie cutters, and I can't, honestly, I've never cheered for one hit of Ward's.
he couldn't punch himself out of a wet paper bag, and all he does is smother and hold on to him like a gay porn. I can't stand it. So I honestly got to say I could care less about the Warden-Dawson fight, but Martinez-Chavez, I think Lopez is going to give Canelo all he can handle, and as long as the Klitschkos keep fighting and dominating the heavyweight division, I'm a happy European, baby.
Did you guys, I had to step off for a second. Did you talk about Molina and DeMarco, Frank? Well, who do you have in that fight?
Man, Molina seems like he couldn't get a fair shake in a Mexican courtroom, so I don't think, I don't think either one of those guys, you know, DeMarco's a badass fighter. I just don't see, I don't know. That's a tough fight, man. I'd like to see Molina get a rematch before he goes spending his, the rest of it, but I'm going to go with Molina in that fight. DeMarco's a tough, tough character, but Molina just seems like either, he's kind of like the Glencoff Johnson of that weight limit now. You know what I mean? He's kind of like that guy that gets all the bad decisions, but everybody thinks great highly of him. That's
yeah.
My opinion.
And I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this, and I know that I'm not, you know, surprising anyone by saying this. I guarantee there's going to be a lot of bloodshed in that fight, and then it's going to be a hell of a fight.
That's safe to say. Karas fighting, that's going to be a great fight, too. The Maidana fight, all these guys, man, they're coming up here. There's a lot of sick fights coming up. I can't wait for the Donaire fight out here in Los Angeles. I might take Emily out on a date there. I'm going to fly her in from Arizona. She's going to have some fun. But
great, great. Thanks, Frank. Hey, Frank, we got our next guest on the line, man. I appreciate you calling in, man. And,
no, man, you
know,
guys keep doing the damn thing. And keep it real on the boxing shit. Don't sugarcoat shit. This is boxing. We punch each other in the mouth.
For
Frank,
sure.
You're
nice,
awesome.
Man.
I love you, Emily. You keep being sexy, little mama.
Thanks.
Well, man, I don't know. I'm so speechless right now. This is such a good interesting show, Dirty Sanchez and everything. So we got our next guest. We got Wale Lucky Boy Omotoso. He's our next guest. Welcome to the show, Wale. How's it going, brother?
Everything is going good. Thank you so much for inviting me to your show.
No problem, man. My name is Josh McDaniel, bro, and you know Emily. I'm alongside here with Emily. Now, what do you, you know, you're a guy who has a great career going on right now, man. Record speaks for itself, you know, 22 wins, 19 of them by knockout, no losses. What do you think you need to do to get that proper exposure in the States?
Actually, you know, I can't because I just moved to the States, so I don't really, you know what to say or what to do, but I just leave everything up to my promoters. And I think, you know, they're no better than I do. They're my promoter, my manager. I think they're the one I leave everything up to them, you know, to bring me out when it's, you know, when it's right for them.
All right. Wale, thanks for coming on. This is Emily.
Emily.
Like I told you, Wale knows me more from the PR standpoint. This is my first time on the show, so I'm happy that I got to do the show when you were going to come on, so... tell me how did you end up at the wild card? I mean, obviously you were born, I understand, and raised in Nigeria, in Lagos, Nigeria, and then, you know, went to Australia for some time, went pro there. How did you end up at the wild card and top rank?
Yeah, actually, I have a friend called Latif Kayode. He's a cruiserweight. He fought at the Tavel of recent. We represent my country together, so he's in the United States. So. When I was in Australia, we always keep contact because we teammate together. So, you know, I've heard about Freddie Roach, I've heard about Wildcard, even though before I leave my country. But, you know, America is a dream of boxing, you know, like this is where boxing is. You know, if you want to have name, you want to prove yourself, it's America. So when I have my career in Australia and I say no one else there I can fight, you know, there's nobody. So... he keep telling me I should come to United States like this. I said, I know. That's where I want to come. So, unfortunately, I came for holiday, and I went to Wildcard, and I fell in love with Wildcard, seeing Freddie Roach for the first time. I was like, Oh my God, you know, I just, you know, he's the best trainer in the whole world, and I saw him, have a shake with him, talk to him, and I go back to Australia, I went back again, then I trained, then he saw me, then he said, yo, you know, I think I see something in you, you just have to come here and prove yourself. That's that. I go back to Australia and change my mind to come back to United States.
Okay. And then backing up a little bit, this is kind of out of order, but what took you from, how did you get from Nigeria to Australia? And I understand Lagos is a very, like, very tumultuous place. It's a difficult place to grow up. And I know that, you know, you did have a rough childhood. What took you from, how did you end up from Nigeria to Australia? Did you still have family in Nigeria?
No, I have a friend in Australia who is like, you know me from the street. When he was fighting, he's a fighter too. When he was fighting, I was in the street by then. You know, I'm doing my own thing in the street and being a street boy and fighting, surviving for life. So I really know him because anytime he go for a fight in my country, we're one of his fans with the troublemaker on his back. Like, if he's going for a fight, we have to come with him for him to be safe. Because we're just a street boy. I don't know anything about boxing, but we just love him in the hood. Because he's a hood boy, but he's good in boxing. So he went to Australia, performed. Then later on, a year, I become a fighter. So he was really, really surprised I'm a fighter. Like, how did I go into boxing? Because when he was fighting, I don't know anything about boxing. I was just in the street, you know, doing my own thing, the way I said it. So after I represent my country, so he was shocked, like, 2 years after I leave the country, then I become a national champion. So 2.5 years or 3 years, I represent my country. So I, you know, so he kind of hearing the rumors, and he said to my manager in Australia, like, yo, you gotta see this kid. This kid, you need to bring him over to Australia. I promise you, this boy is a talent. This boy, he have a ball. He will die on the ring. He's ready to die. So. That's everything gets started. So after, you know, all this white, then the white man just picked me from my country, which is pretty hard to pick someone from Africa to Australia. But he do everything, pick me over there. Then I go there and I just thought, yo, I'm not leaving this country, you know. Then I start professional boxing there. So that's all how right. My life starts.
All right. So... Tell me, you're 22-0 with 19 knockouts. That's a pretty bomb record. That's a solid record. Tell me, why do you think it is that you're not coming on the televised portion of the pay-per-views? I mean, do you think that's coming soon? Like, why? I mean, obviously, you're on the Chavez Jr. undercard. I'm looking forward to going to watch you there. So at what point do you think they're going to be moving you to the televised portion? I mean, that's a solid...
That's what I'm saying, you know, I just signed up with my promoter, I've never been, you know, I don't know how I will put this, but I don't want to, you know, I don't, this is America, this is a new country to me, so I'm not kind of, like, pushing person, like, I just leave everything to them. I believe in my promoters, I believe, you know, boxing is business, I got it, but if the time is right, I will leave it to them, but I don't want to bring myself out. I know in America, no one knows me because I haven't, you know, no one knows me. So I thought maybe that's one of the issue or the problem I'm having. I'm not sure, but I just leave everything to them and leave everything to God. You know, that's the best I can do. I pray all the time. I go to church. I hope the right time come. Everyone can, you know me in America.
Well, hopefully this card is going to give you some exposure you haven't had. I just have a couple more questions. You're coming off an injury. What was that about? And I mean, are you obviously you're ready to fight September 15th?
I'm ready to fight. Even though now tomorrow I'm ready to fight. You know, I just get back. My last fight was April 28th. Then I broke my head. So, but I went out of injury for about 3.5 months. But now I'm good. I've been sparring. My hand is good. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to go. I can kick it now. If it's happening now, I'll kick it. It's my job. I don't have another life. You feel me? So I'm ready to rock anytime.
And Wally, who will be in your corner on September 15th?
who will be in my corner. I'm not pretty sure. I'm sure, like, because I have another trainer now, which is called Eric Brown, because my ex-trainer is from Simon Sewage, but he went to London for some business, so he's not in town. So I'm training with Eric Brown at this moment. I'm sure Eric Brown is going to be there. If I fight early, I'm sure Freddie Roach will be there too. If not, my manager, Steve Feder, will be there. So I'll just roll with the clue.
So I'll be there. So if you need a fourth, just let me know. I'll be there with you at the.
All right, that would be cool.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Josh, do you have any? You want to?
Yeah. So all right. Well, look, most boxers, when you ask them, do you look for the knockout, or are you the type of fighter that it comes if it comes? But dude, you knock out most of your opponents, man, and you just seem like you love to inflict pain on your opponent. Do you go in there looking for the knockout?
No, not at all. I don't go and look for it. I don't look for it. But I kind of watch, open my eye. If I see it coming, I go for it. But I won't rush it. But if it doesn't come, I will chill. But now, before, I kind of, I want to get out of the ring as soon as possible. But I think for now, when I come to United States, different style of boxing, yeah. I won't lie to you. Different way of boxing. In Australia, I do my own thing. I'm on tour all the time. But when I come to United States, they say, no, you can't do that yet. There's a lot of good fighters here. You have to sit down more. You have to sit. So I kind of, having more patience now on the ring and have, take my time. When I see it, I'll take it. If it doesn't happen, I will go for the boxing. I can fight, I can box. It depends on what happened on the ring.
Right. Now, when you're inside the ring, do you, like, look back at all, like, what you've been through in your life? The way you were brought up, being on your own, does that add fuel to your fire when you're inside the ring?
That put a little bit. I wouldn't say too much, but that put a little bit. But I've never been in a position, like, I would say, okay, all right, you got to kill me. But if it comes to that, I swear to you, I don't care giving my life in that ring. It's my job. It's my job. And that's only what I know. And me, for what I've passed through, what I've seen in life, you got to kill me on that ring before I will surrender to you. I won't just give up for you. You have to kill me. For real. I'm not saying this for a joke. Like me, life to me is too short. If it happened on my job, it happened. If I survive on it, I survive. If I don't, it's my job. I'm happy whatever happened. But if I on the ring, I don't really put the hanger. But if you get to that stage, I think I will put it 100%.
Now, since you moved out here to the States of California, who's been like your mentor? Who's been mentoring you and showing you around and just being like a big brother or whatever to you? Anyone in particular?
I've been hanging out with my homeboys, Latif Kayode, because we know each other from back home. Like, we're from the street, like, from the hood together. So, we've been rolling. Me, I'm a chill guy. I go with the flow, and I look the lifestyle. But I have a lot of, there's a lot of Nigerians in America. So I've met people from him. I've met people I know back home, too. People who knows me, who I don't even know back home. So we kind of rode together, but I picked my friend, I don't wanna hang out with the wrong crew. So I kind of, watch who I roll with, who I work with, because this is LA, this is California, You don't wanna be in the wrong place and in the wrong time. So
I'm from LA too, man. I'm out here too, so I know what you mean, but real quick before I let you go, how do you like living in California, man? I mean, are you enjoying it? Weather, women, everything?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I love it. It's cool. You know, it's beautiful. Just it's similar lifestyle to Vacuum. You feel me? Like I love it. I love it, but you know, it does it's something else. You know, it's crazy. It's busy. You know, you have to be up there all the time. You know, if you know what I'm saying, this is LA. But I love it, brother. I love it.
That's what's up, man. So, hey, before I let you go, dude, first of all, thanks for coming on. It's always great having these, you know, young, talented fighters on the show, man. And shout out any social media that you have, you know, Facebook, Twitter, whatever.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. I think Emily's the one there. She's the one helping me out on my Facebook, but I'm on Twitter, too. But I don't really roll on it because I've been in trouble on the Twitter a little bit, so I'm kind of a little bit, you know, running in and out of you know what I'm saying? This is LA, you know, all these girls are like, oh, hello. And I've been kicking the nuts a few times, so I kind of stay out of trouble. So.
Yeah, his Facebook, you can work on Facebook, the official Top Rank page. It's you can search for Wally Omotoso or Lucky Boy Omotoso.
On Twitter? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm there. I can hear you.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have a Twitter that you're doing? I mean, I know that Top Rank...
Oh, okay. You're asking for my name on Twitter?
Yeah, your Twitter...
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Wale Lucky Boy Omotoso.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, Wally, thanks for coming on the show, man. It was great having you on, man. We'll talk to you soon, man. Good luck with this fight coming up.
Thank you so much, brother. Thank you so much for the interview, and one love for all my friends there, you know. And all my friends and family and my everybody, one love. Peace for the nation.
Thank you, Wally.
Thank you, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, everyone, that was Wale Omotoso, Lucky Boy. That was fun, too, man. He sounds like a fun guy. He sounds like he's loving L.A. a lot right now.
Yeah, it sounded like that. Getting in trouble.
But Emily, we got our next guest already waiting, so we're going to go ahead and bring on Cletus Mookie Pendarvis. Mookie, you online, Matt? You there?
Yes, sir. Yeah, what's up? What's going on, boss?
What's going on, Mookie? How's everything going with you?
Oh, man, just chilling out here enjoying this California weather. You know, it's a nice little breeze. The summer is kind of toning down, so I'm really loving it.
All right, great, man. I know, I'm loving it, too. It's not as hot as it's been usually out here, man. I'm in Cali as well, so, you know, let's see. So, look, man, hey, you won your last five fights. You know, you're coming off of... And you got a belt coming up on the 20th of September. Tell everyone who's listening more about your career because, you know, a lot of people, if you're on the West Coast, might not know too much about you.
Well, you know, my name is the Prince Cleotus Mookie Pendarvis. I'm from South Central Los Angeles. I'm 26-year-old. Right now I hold the IBF USBA and the WBC USNBC. I'm ranked number 15 in the world by the IBF, and I'm just on a mission to let everybody know that, you know, I'm coming, and I'm coming hard. And everybody in Cali really do know who I am, especially around, you know, the boxing arena and everything, and as far as the streets and the whole shebang, you know. And I just want the world to know who I am because, you know, I'm like everybody else that's fighting to live and fighting to provide. You know, fighting to give his family a better life, and not just my family, but myself. You know, I got to start with myself before I can start with anybody else. I just want the people to understand that everybody go through something to get somewhere.
Hey, now, Mookie, how did you get started in boxing? You know, being from South Central and everything, you know, rough neighborhood and all. Is that what got you into it?
Well, you know, man, growing up in the hood. You know, I used to fight like every day, and one day I decided to walk in the gym, mess with the coaches, and it was like, man, get up out of here. I was like, nah, dude, the only way I'll leave if y'all let me spar him. And, you know, him was Miguel, which his name is Mikey, and he was the best kid in the state. And I was only 9 years old, They put me in the ring with him, and he already had a couple of local district and state championships up under his belt. And I went in there and I held my own. And it was like, have you ever fought before? I said, nah, man, you know, I just fight in the streets every day, so that's really what it is. And then it was like, well, just keep coming. And then I kept going to the gym, and that's how my career started. My first 17 fights, I went 16-1 in the amateurs. And I had my first amateur fight 2 months in the game into training already, and I fought a kid by the name of Pee Wee, and he had about 11 fights already, and I smashed him. I mean, I thrashed him.
Now, you know, I heard you've been trying to get a rematch with Herrera, right? And a lot of people don't know, you fought Mauricio Herrera, and it was a controversial loss. Now, is that true that you've been trying to get a rematch going on with him?
I mean, I want Herrera. I want whoever is in the top 15. Well, I'm number 15, but anyone that's before me in the IBF or any other sanctioned bodies in the professional boxing world that I could really make a mark with. I don't really see anything too special out there. Yeah, my record is 16-3-2, and I have my share of controversy in the game, politics, and the whole shebang and stuff like that. And actually, the September date, it's not an actual date right now. We kind of like flirting with the date between the 20th and October 3rd. So I'm just waiting to hear back from my manager to see when we're going to lock some in with that.
Now, where are you currently training out of right now?
Right now I'm training at The Rock in Torrance, California, and at DG Boxing in Long Beach, California. So I'll just be moving from in between those two gyms, and I go over there a lot to Freddie Roach's gym at Wildcard and spar with a lot of the headbangers over there, like Wale Osamoso. I done moved with a lot of cats over there, and I love it because it's all competition and everybody brings it.
Yeah, and we just had Wale on right before you right now, and he was, you know, and another fighter from Michael Medina from Wildcard, and they all say the same thing. The sparring out at Wildcard is none other. It's like A-class sparring over there.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly, you know.
Hey, so look, a lot of your fights has been in SoCal, you know, being that you're from SoCal. I know I've seen you fight a few times over at Woodland Hills on Bash Boxing promotion. You do a lot for Bash Boxing. How much pressure is it to fight in front of a lot of family and friends, like just right there in the crowd?
It's really no pressure. You know, I actually love it for the simple fact that I've been fighting my whole life. You know, if anything, the pressure's on my opponent because, you know, I'm going in there to do what I got to do and do my stuff and come out with the victory. And that's really what it is, boss.
Right, right. Now, how did you get the nickname Mookie? Where did that come from?
It's a family name. My auntie, she kind of like named all the young ones in the family. And for some reason, Mookie just traveled with me, man, throughout my whole life, school, boxing, football, everything that I did, everybody, instead of using my real name, Cleotis, they rather call me Mookie. I don't know.
Right, man, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to pass you over to Emily. She's going to ask you a few questions, too, brother.
All right, no problem.
It's nice to meet
you.
I'm filling in tonight, so I'm kind of just learning about your career and stuff. What's up next for you? When do you fight again?
We looking at between the 20th of September and the 3rd of October. I really would like the date of the 3rd, but whatever day my manager, you know, sets, then that's the day we go on. But I really would like the 3rd. It's in Atlanta. It's away from Cali. I like to travel for the simple fact that, you know, people know me out here already in Cali. I want people around the States to get to know me and see, you know, what I can do and how I could put on a performance and use my skill and things of that nature.
And tell me, what else do you like to do besides boxing? Like, what are you into outside of the gym, or do you focus pretty much solely on boxing these days?
Well, boxing is my main focus, but outside the gym, you know, I write music, poetry, do a lot of reading. I don't really watch too much TV. I feel that TV is just really just like entertainment, and it's a lot of fiction. I like things that deal with reality and facts, So, you know, I like to stand up books, read about government, and read about the old gangsters from back in the day, like structure, organized, you know, things like that. And, you know, I just like to go deep. I'm a deep fellow, so that's really what I do. Like, outside of boxing, I like to explore and take my mind to another level, elevate my mind and my soul.
Good. Is there anybody in the welterweight division? It's pretty. Do you anticipate staying at that weight? And if so, what interests you in the division as far as a fight in the future?
Yeah, in the junior welterweight division, it's really no one that in particular that I could just pick out, but whoever they put in front of me, you know, I got to take one fight at a time, and I'm definitely going to show the world, you know, that I could beat. You know, the best out there, regardless of whatever people may say or however they may feel. I'd have been in there with the best in the world. You know, I just fought with a lot of guys, Shane Mosley, Oscar De La Hoya, Diego Corrales, rest in peace. You know, my heart goes out to his family and a lot of Ricky Hatton, a lot of the world champions and ex-world champions, cats that's going down in history, Timothy Bradley, Victor Ortiz, you know, those are the upcoming pit bulls right along with myself. So, you know, it's not anything I haven't seen yet. I'm just waiting my turn.
Yeah, no, that's good. I understand you're from South Central LA. What has being from that area, you know, helped you, done for you in terms of being inside the ring?
Can you repeat that?
I said, hello? You know, you're from South Central LA. What did growing up there, you know, do to prepare you for a life inside the ring?
It just prepared me for war. You know, it's war every day out in the streets of Los Angeles. You know, only the strong survive. You know, you can't be no sucker out there in the streets, and you got to hold on, you know. You got to hold on to your levels. You got to hold on. You got to stand strong. And, you know, in the ring, it just shows me, like, if it's any kind of adversity, I could pull through it. I've been hurt. I've been dropped. I got up and I won, and it's not about how you fall, it's about how you get up. It's the aftermath.
And tell me about your memories of Diego Corrales.
Diego, you know, one of a kind. You know, like, a lot of cats be kind of like bougie, and because they got millions and they kind of look at you as less than what they are, like if they never was in your position to get to the top. But Diego, man, that dude, man, he showed you love. You know, he sits there, talks to you, give you advice, and tells you, like, exactly what it is. A straight stand-up guy. I got a lot of love and respect for Diego Corrales, and it hurted me a lot to hear, you know, that he had passed away. I had a chance to meet, you know, his daughter and his brother-in-law, Anthony Randolph and stuff, when I was in camp with Shane Mosley. We went up to Shane's house in Laverne, and I was able to meet, you know, his will and his daughter, and it was a blessing. But Diego is just one of a kind. He's a real cool cat, laid back, very outgoing, showed a lot of love, and I take my hats and my heart always goes out to him. And, you know, when I fight for cats like Diego and all the fallen soldiers of the boxing game and all the fallen soldiers of the streets of Los Angeles.
Now, who's the...
Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, all right. Hey, Mookie, so who's been, you know, I know you named off a bunch of names, dude, that you sparred with, and, you know, you said Diego. Who's probably been the most memorable, like, legend that you got to spar with, or the best moment that you've had in sparring?
I would have to say Aaron Valero. That dude's a beast. You know, he taught me a lot just by being in the ring with him and stuff, and he had a lot of respect for my skills and stuff. You know, he don't really know much English, but he knew enough to give me what I needed to go along in this boxing world, dealing with, you know, everything that I dealt with thus far in the game and stuff. And, you know, of course, he lost his life, you know, through a tragic situation and stuff. And, you know, I would have to say Evan Valero, though, man. That dude's a beast and very strong cat. Also was a southpaw as myself. So, like I said, I learned a lot from him. I learned that working hard would get you to the top.
Nice. Now, for everyone out there listening, describe how your fighting style is. Like, how would you describe the best way that you fight?
I'm an overall fighter. You know, I'm not just one dimensional. I got speed, I got power, I'm slick. A lot of people like to compare me to like the Meldrick Taylor, Sweet Tea, stuff like that. Like, you know, what you can't see, you can't hit. And the thing is to hit and not get hit. And if a cat slip up, to get him out of there. You know, my style is just overall fighter, boxer, puncher, whatever it is, whatever I got to do in the ring to win, I'm going to adapt and I'm going to do my stuff. And that's just what it is. I'm an overall fighter. You're going to see a cat like myself throw them double left hands, them triple hooks, you know, them combination punching and things of that nature. And I'm just an entertainer at the end of the day.
Nice, nice. Now, Mookie, thanks for coming on the show, man. Before I let you go, why don't you shout out any kind of, like, social media you have, dude, like Twitter, Facebook, whatever it may be.
Well, my Twitter and my Facebook has not been set up yet, but I definitely will shout out, you know, everybody from Los Angeles, everybody from all over the world, you know, you guys for letting me get on the radio station and introduce myself to the world and to the boxing world. And things like that, and definitely my kids, you know, Naya and Jay Murray, my mom, and my brother resting in peace. And last but not least, of course, my manager, Warren Wilkinson, my promoter, Pitbull Promotions, Herb Tubson, my publicist, Rachel, everybody that's all for the movement of Coyotes Pendarvis. Like, they don't know who I really am, but they will find out, you know, it's one step at a time. You know, I'm just getting closer to my dream. And if you doubt me, let me say this. Doubt yourself, because when I wake up and I look in the mirror, I'm just as human as anybody else. Anybody that made mistakes in their life and fell off and decided to just wake up and smell a coffee and bounce back like a real soldier, that's who I am. So anybody that come from a struggle or not even from a struggle, whether you rich or poor, you know, whether you believe, if you believe in yourself, then I'm that cat. I'm just like you. I believe in myself. I have much confidence in me. I've been told that I couldn't make it. Out here, they say 1 out of every 10 or 9 out of every 10, you know, statistics, African-Americans in Los Angeles, California, will either be dead or in prison. I'm 26. They said we weren't supposed to make it to, you know, past 18. I made it to 26, and it's a problem now. Because I'm coming.
Nice, man. Thanks for coming on the show, man. You know, definitely you got your name out there where everyone's listening. And, man, I wish you the best of luck in continuing your career, and hopefully I catch more of your fights out here in L.A. when you fight out here, man.
Oh, yeah, most def, man. And I appreciate it. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I can win you guys over, and y'all just follow me. But most definitely, I know I will win y'all over. My fight, the way I fight now is totally different. My coach, Chuck Washington, Coach Jamal Abdullah, you know, we put together some real nice stuff. And now it's just time to go out there and show the world what it really do with the others, Mookie Pendarvis, the Prince.
Hey, man, thanks for coming on. Like, I hope we'll get you back on again whenever you got another fight coming up.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And may everybody, you know, have a good day. And, you know, much respect to everybody out there in the boxing world. But if you're in the ring with me, you know what it is.
Nice, man. Thanks for coming on, bro. Have a good one.
All right, boss. You too.
All right, everyone right there. That was Coyotes Mookie Pendarvis right there. You know, she's coming out of South Central California and with a... It was interesting, you know, he has a good story, you know, everything that he's been through, you know. He has a small little title, but, you know, he's making his name, trying to get his name out there. He's only in, you know, he's only fought mostly in California, but like you said, trying to get his name out there. Emily, what do you think?
Hey, he seems like a good guy. He's been through some stuff, you know, growing up in a rough area, and seems like he's made the best of it. I'm interested to see how he does with the rest of his career.
Yeah, I mean, he's... Yeah, I do too, and I like that he's been staying busy too. His confidence, and he usually stays busy. That's always a good thing. I thought it was interesting that he worked out with and trained with your buddy that we just had on Wale, and that was a pretty, you know, I didn't know that.
No, I didn't either. I hadn't heard about him being there, but that's good. I mean, that's where you're going to get the best sparring if you're in that area.
Right. Now, look, we're about to the show's almost complete here, but we're going to got a few more topics to touch on real quick. First of all, I want to give out the phone number for all the listeners out there. If you want to call in and talk boxing, make sure you call into the Boxing Fix. Don't be shy, man. We don't bite. Call in at 347-215-7598. Go ahead and call that number. Give us a call, talk boxing. And also get a quick shout-out to the other shows we have on LeaveItInTheRingRadio.com. On Mondays, No Sunday Box Sale from 5 Pacific. That's 8 Eastern if you guys don't know how to do the calculations. Thursdays, Leave It in the Ring Radio with your host, Dave Duenas, and the Dark Cloud. I'm losing all the names right now. Gabriel Montoya, 5 Pacific, 3 hours of boxing talk right there. I mean, those guys get some great guests, get great callers. Frank, who called up earlier, usually is on there yelling and screaming and doing all that stuff. So make sure you go check that out. And then don't forget to get your Undisputed Fight magazine, all right? All you boxing heads, all you boxing addicts, if you don't have this magazine, you're not reading it, you're not really a fan or an addict or anything. You must get it. It's a must read. UndisputedFightMag.com. So go ahead and get that. It's a great magazine. And it has great articles, great interviews, everything that you want is in there. So let's get on to the hard-hitting headlines. We haven't had many of those lately, but, you know, we had a few this week. First one I want to just bring up is, you know, the controversy with the steroids that's been going on. Andre Berto got his license in California to fight. Man, that's crazy because we missed, because of him, Victor Ortiz got his jaw broken by Jose Cito Lopez, and now he got his license to fight in California. So, I mean, good for Andre. I'm happy for him. You know, I guess I don't know if you want to call him, he got found innocent or whatever, but all the testing and everything that went on, you know, that happened. So you guys licensed, the part going to be looking for a fight for him pretty soon. What do you think about that, Emily?
You know, he seems like a genuinely good guy, and I'm not 100% behind the fact that every fighter knows, I mean, yes, ultimately they're responsible for what goes into their body, but I don't know, I think there's a lot of trust in camps. Being really close to the sport, I see that, and you know, just, okay, this is fine, then I'll go ahead and take it. So I don't know what the situation was. I'm glad, you know, I'm glad to see him back. If he did they reverse it, or, like, what happened that he got his license back so quickly? Because I thought for some reason he had a year suspension.
From what it sounds like, from what I read or whatever, they have reversed the whole the testing, all the tests that they did, and I don't know, all the evidence. It just came out the other day, though, that they put it out there. Oh, I forgot what I was doing. I was watching, I think, the Little League World Series, in fact, and I saw breaking news, and which shocked me that it even came up on ESPN, because,
yeah,
you know, ESPN only cares about boxing during Friday nights, you know. I'm watching the Little League World Series, and I see something that said boxing. I was like, what happened with Floyd Mayweather? That's exactly what I said, you know. Did he get arrested again? And it was I know, it's all during first.
I think with all the other steroid news that
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly. If it wasn't for the steroids, it wouldn't be anywhere.
Yeah, I'm happy.
You
I'm
know?
Happy. He tweeted a picture, I don't know, yesterday, today, of some of the damage in Haiti. I know that hurts him, you know. And you know, like I said, he seems like a good guy. I'm glad to see him back and looking forward to seeing him fight again. He's an exciting fighter to watch, so.
Definitely. Now, I wanted to throw this hard-hitting headline because originally I thought Joel Sebastian Ali was going to be on the show today, but, you know, because of the school and everything, he couldn't. And I got blessed to have the PR superstar, Emily, on with me today, which you're doing a great job, and I'm loving the show right now. Joel's favorite fighter, if no one knows that, or two favorite fighters, one of them announced that he is his next fight on November 10th. And I'm going to just got to give it a quick shout out. We don't even have to talk too much about it. But Joel, your favorite fighter, Vladimir Klitschko, is facing undefeated Marius Walk. I have no idea really who he is. But, you know, shout out to Joel and his favorite boxer. You'll be able to watch him fight on November 10th, as well as his brother, I think, in a couple weeks or so. So that's the two little headlines going on that I wanted to put out there for everyone. But what we're going to get you now is, I think, my favorite part of the show. And Emily, it's probably your favorite part because I know you have a few good ones. rants and raves. Let's get into some rants. So, Emily, I want you to start off because I know your rants, and they're pretty good. Why don't you kick it off and tell us what got you heated this week, or what are you ranting about?
Well, you know, when you said, do you have any rants or raves, I mean, of course, the first thing that came to my mind was Joe Cortez reffing the Abraham fight yesterday, and that I would be fine not to see him ref anymore. I'm not a fan. I don't think he's a good ref. I think he used to be, back in the day, a little bit more liberal, just not so much anymore. And then I find out also he's going to be the ref for Canelo Alvarez versus Jose Chito Lopez, and I could definitely do without that. So that was my biggest rant. I may be alone in this.
Do,
I don't think I am.
Emily.
Yeah.
Do you think that he's fair but firm?
Do I think he's what?
Do you believe that he's still fair and firm, or was he ever fair and firm? Or
well,
fair but firm,
know.
I'm sorry.
I think there was a time when I respected him as a ref. Not so much anymore. I don't know what he's looking past. I think he gets involved way too much in the fighters, you know, and I like to talk about refs. I do like it. I like Smoger. I like 20 Weeks. I am just not a fan. I don't think firm, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to accuse anybody of anything, but I don't know. This what happened, obviously in the Floyd Mayweather fight and in other fights, I'm kind of over the guy. So I did hear, though, that when he rests the Canelo Alvarez fight, that he's supposed to retire after that. So that's cool with me.
And now, I don't know if anyone else knows this. Maybe you know it, Emily. You can answer it. When you retire as a referee, though, can you come back kind of like a, you know, Floyd Mayweather or Michael Jordan did it in basketball? Can you retire for a year and just say, you know what, I want to come back and ref?
I honestly don't know. I'm assuming. Why wouldn't you be able to? I mean, just have to get licensed again or whatever.
Because I'm just wondering if he's going to try to be like the Michael Jordan of referees. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But
I guess, yeah, I mean, he obviously has a good enough reputation to be getting these big fights. So maybe it's misplaced, my ranting. But I don't know. I think there are better options. So. And I guess, in the other part, on September 15th, 20 Weeks and Kenny Bayless are reffing. I think 20 Weeks is the main event fight. So maybe this, was a matter of who was available.
That's true. I mean, they could have just walked down the street to the next venue, but it's all right. didn't you have another rant, or did you have a rave?
Yes, I had another rant. Why don't you go with your rave? Because I do have another rant, and I need to bring it back to mine.
I got a rant too. So let me go with my rant then. I totally forgot about this, and I wanted just to talk about it real quick. Man, anyone who was on the the conference call the other day with what was it, Gennady Golovkin? Oh man, that was the worst conference call. And I'm telling you, I hate doing the conference calls because they usually are bad. This was horrible. I've never heard a bunch of old men on the phone learning how to use a phone for the first time in their life. It was bad. People were talking in the background. They didn't have an interpreter for one of the fighters on the undercard. I think they even asked, does anyone speak Russian in the room? So, I mean, it was bad. It was just horrible. These guys didn't know what to push. They were confused everywhere. I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. Like cell phones were just invented. I mean, these guys have conference calls every day. I would assume so, and they still don't know how to do it. That was just horrible for me to even sit on and listen to. I don't know. That was just horrible. That's my rant. It's just a little something small there because I'm actually happy that this month's almost over and we got boxing coming on. So I don't know if you're ready for your next rant.
Yeah, this is very small rant. It's more just a disappointment as a fan. I'm going to the Chavez Jr. fight. Obviously, I have Wally and Michael fighting. Just to the undercard of that fight, I don't think it's the strongest ever. And considering how great the main event is, they could have made a stronger undercard. And then to know that now, I'm not positive that it's for sure, but Rigondeaux and Merrill Kent are no longer going to be on the undercard because of some legal issues that that Rigondeaux is having.
You know, it's funny that you brought that up. I'm telling you, boxing is like the only sport, or the sport that has the most legal issues out of any sport, man. Why can't we just play? You know, why can't we just fight? Let's play ball, so to speak. You know, like, baseball, you got games, you know what it is. And these guys go through all these legal issues, this and that and the other. It's like, it's incredibly, like, I feel like I'm on an episode of Judge Judy half the time in boxing.
Yeah, no, I think that has to do with just a different, you know, there's not one sanctioning anything. There's not one, you know, they have so many different managers, so many different promoters. It's just so, you know, there's so many different parties involved that, yeah, there's going to be litigation and, you know, there's a lot to be taken advantage of, I guess, from fighters.
Right, definitely. Now, so let's go on to our rave segment real quick. You know, I know this one, a lot of people are going to love this. I know a lot of people will agree with me. I'm sure you agree with me. It's a lot of people on Twitter. Man, that face-off with Chavez Jr. and Martinez had to be one of the best face-offs I've seen, if not the best one. Right next to Cotto Margarito. That was pretty good because it was intense. But this was just... Martinez, I didn't know, was that much of a funny guy like that. I mean, Sergio came with jokes, and Chavez Jr. looked exactly like who he is, a young kid who just got outwitted outside of the ring. And I thought it was funny. Martinez called him several things. You called him a little boy, said you're not ready. Chavez Jr., my favorite thing he said is logic doesn't fit with boxing or something like that, and that was just classic. And Chavez just looked confused. He looked like he wasn't ready for a face off where they were going to talk crap. And to Chavez's credit, maybe he's not that much of a trash talker. He wants to go in just get in the ring and get it on. But entertainment purpose and entertainment value, Martinez just handled that well. And also, I didn't know. Shout out to Max Kellerman because I'm sure he doesn't. But if he really does understand Spanish, he did a great job with no translator. I'm sure there was someone whispering in his ear what they were saying. But I thought the HBO face-off was great. I don't know if you got to catch it, but if you did, tell me, Emily, what you think about it?
I just read about it online. I didn't actually see the face-off, but everyone I heard said it was the top face-off they'd seen. And I saw a lot of the quotes, and, I mean, Martinez is really a funny guy. I was excited about this fight, and I become more excited about it every time I hear anything about it. So I think that they did a good job with that, and obviously created a lot of buzz. I don't hear that much about the face-off very much, and this one I definitely heard a lot about.
Definitely. Now, before we get to your race, since we just brought it up, who do you like in that fight? If you had to pick one of those two, Martinez, Chavez, who do you like?
I think Martinez is going to win. I think that he's the stronger fighter. I do feel like weight is going to play into it, but from what I understand, just things I'm hearing about the camps and everything else, I do feel like Martinez is going to win, and he, you know, has more writing on it. I mean, if he loses, he's going to be written off forever. If Chavez loses, he's going to have as many, you know, chances as he wants.
Definitely. Now,
what do you think? Who do you like?
You want to know? I'm going for Martinez. I think it's going to be a good fight. It's just crazy, though. I think it was a couple of weeks ago. I was with a bunch of buddies, and my buddies asked me, who do I like in the fight? And at that time, it's funny, I said, I want Martinez, but I think Chavez is going to win. So, like, I kind of switched it up who I think is going to win and who I want. I'm rooting for Martinez. But I think Chavez definitely does have a chance, possibly. I think he's improved. He looks a lot better, but I'm rooting for Martinez, man. He's a nice guy, and he, you know, that's one thing I wanted to say real quick. Before I just remembered someone on Twitter. I forgot who it was. I think it was my buddy on Twitter, Joe Calix Sports. He said, for someone being Martinez who's against being a bully, he sure is bullying the hell out of Chavez Jr. right now. And he sure did. And that's my stuff. I thought of that. So that was a good observation by him. But yeah. So I'll go ahead and go with Sergio the Bully Martinez.
There you go. The poor guy.
What happened?
You'd like the worst nickname for the guy.
Yeah, I know, right? he's probably going to hate me now. If I ever go out in Oxnard, he'll probably bully me. No, but shout out to Sergio. He's a nice guy. I've actually got to interview him in person. He's a real nice guy, man. I'm going to end on one more rave. Frank brought this up. I wish Frank was on for this one. He would have liked this. I'm glad August is over for boxing. We got a bunch of great fights coming up, starting even next week. I think we might have some fights, but regardless, the August is over. The boxing drought. We all survived the drought. There's fights coming up. We don't have to watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians anymore, or watch baseball anymore, or whatever it may be that you watch the past time. We actually got some boxing coming up, and thank goodness for August being over. I know that Emily has been excited because her new favorite promoter, Snooki, had her baby. So, I know she's happy over there, Emily.
I've never watched the show once, but you were saying we needed boxing news. So, Snooki,
yeah, I just had to get you on that, it's just great that August is over. I'm sure you feel a little bit of the same. I mean, as a fan's point of view, to watch fights, we got some good fights coming about in September. I wonder, are you just as excited as I am?
In September?
Yeah, are you excited for that month?
Yeah, heck yeah. I mean, the cards on the 8th are, some people are saying maybe they're more excited than the 15th. I mean, I have personal reasons to be excited about the 15th. Randall Freda Benavidez is going to fight September 29th. So, September is going to be a big boxing month. I'm excited for it.
All right, great. Now, Emily, before we go, is there any last things you want to say to everyone? Tell them where they can follow you at and all that stuff.
You can follow me on Facebook and Twitter, Emily Boxing. And I just thank you so much for having me co-host. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I thank you very much.
Thank you. June, it was pretty last minute and everything, and you did a great job. I had a great time, like always. Real quick, everyone out there, Monday night, which would be tomorrow. I can't believe I'm on Sunday already. Damn. Monday night, you got No City of the Block sale. Make sure you listen on. It's all you Spanish speakers out there. I would listen to it if I understand Spanish full circle, but I'm not that great at it. Make sure you check that out, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 Eastern, Thursday night, Leave It in the Ring Radio. Dave Duenas and Gabriel Montoya brings it to you hardcore, just the truth, just keeps it real. 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, 3 hours of boxing talk right there. Don't forget, you can catch us on The Boxing Fix every Sundays. You got to do that, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. And get your Undisputed Fight magazine, Undisputed Fight Mag, UndisputedFightMag.com. And I just want to, thank Emily again. And then, for David Chan and Emily and myself, thanks for all you listeners out there for listening, and all you addicts, make sure you come back Sunday to come and get your fix with the boxing, all right? Have a good one.
Thank you.